The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Live from Stoney's Bar and Grill for the Denver Comic-Con beer release, you're listening to fucking Thinking Outside the Long Box, you dick-ass buttholes.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting us a return invitation.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 86?
Seven.
Six or seven?
Seven, I think. Seven.
Fix that
I'm pretty
post.
Sure it's seven.
Thinking Outside the Long Box, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Mike.
And we have...
Alicia.
Katrina.
Mel, way over here.
That's not going to pick that up. But yeah, we are here at Stoney's Bar and Grill. We're going to record a little bit before the Denver Comic-Con beer release party starts because it'll get really loud and people start getting drunk and the podcast will devolve into just yelling and stuff, which is, I know, everybody's favorite kind of episode of the show. But
pretty much, yeah.
I don't think we yell and well, we do cuss.
When we're live, like sitting around a table at stuff like this, it just turns into everybody talking.
You don't know. You don't ever come to these things.
No, that's how I know, is I listen to them.
Yeah, last year it was a lot of yelling.
I listen to them, and I'm like, I have no idea what any of those
it was really,
are
really loud last year. Like, right, it's because it was like the same space, but it was between two levels, so the band and everything was fucking right on top of you.
Yeah, all I could hear was just constant yelling.
And like 80s
John
music.
Being drunk. Randy coming over all drunk.
Oh man, last year when we did Frankie Cerna's party, fucking Randy smashed like 80 beers.
I saw him the next day.
Whoo,
he was
hurting, hammered, drunk.
Yeah, that was the night before Comic Con, wasn't it?
It was either the night before or like two nights before, one or the other. It was a lot of fun though.
I remember talking to him.
Hopefully, we'll do something like that again this year. But obviously, this is the kickoff for con season for us. Just hanging out. Getting ready to get pint glasses and raspberry beer.
So I got a confession. I haven't listened to the last couple episodes because you got me hooked on Astonishing Legends.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
So when Astonishing Legends, when I first heard about it, I listened from episode one to like current episode, which was the Black Eyed Kids episodes, in like 2 weeks, dude. That show is fucking awesome.
I've been picking and choosing because I knew most of the stuff, so I'm listening to the Mary Celeste right
now. Oh, nice. That one's really cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... I love stuff like that. They talk about another guy named Jim Harold on their show.
Yep, I've listened to him.
So I've been listening to...
the Campfire Stories.
Yeah. And, oh, man. But Astonishing Legends is awesome. Did you hear me talk about it on the show, or did you read the article?
I think you texted... We were doing a Facebook post about Oak Island.
Oh, yeah.
And then you put something on the Facebook post, and I was like, what?
I also really love Curse of Oak Island. That show is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. More mud.
My wife hates it because they find zero things. I love it because they find zero things. They will never find anything until they find that fucking Templar gold.
There is no gold there.
I'm saying it's the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, bullshit. It's Templar gold, man.
Sorry, yeah, I had to make sure we got our glasses.
What's great about that show and it not having like any resolution whatsoever is everybody has their own pet theory about like what the fuck is going on that.
Oh, exactly. And just the fact that they're able to build up like every episode, like in the next episode, they're going to find more mud, but you're going to be totally hooked really into it.
Because
they're going to find a tree branch.
This mud's shaped like a fucking hole in the ground.
It's awesome.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Curse of Oak Island.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's awesome. It's amazing.
It's a good show.
Ignore her. It's
they don't find anything. Spoilers.
One might even say it's wonderful.
Ah,
I love it.
I wouldn't say
that. I would say that. The brothers do argue a lot. But
what
it's like
brothers really, don't?
But it's like super passive aggressive arguing where they're like, I really don't think we should dig in that hole anymore. And the other one goes, we really should.
Yeah, and the other one's like, I'm financing this whole entire thing, so I'm going to say no.
And then the other one goes, I'm your older brother, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
That's basically how their arguments go. It's
yeah, because the younger brother, I think, is loaded.
Is loaded.
He's an oil guy.
And the other guy was, like, literally did what Tim does.
Yeah.
He's a mailman. He's like a retired mailman.
So nothing?
Probably a fucking city carrier.
Fuck those city carriers.
Fucking city
but
carriers.
How much of their money do you think they actually spend? They probably get the show to spend.
They
get the executive
and
producer.
And they get their own salary.
Yeah.
And not only that, when they—if you ever notice when they get
to pay themselves to do the show,
yeah, for sure.
And then every time they get somebody to do it, they're always like, "Oh, we got Joe and Bob's oil rigging here that's going to drill for us." They always
right,
make
and
sure
they talk
to,
and they wear their hats.
Yeah,
like,
they make sure to really sell the company,
yeah.
Especially like with the big cats with all the heavy.
My favorite scene was when they put like buoys out in the bay, right?
Yeah,
that were like inflatable, and the guy had done like tons of testing and even done testing on Oak Island and stuff. But when they put them out to, like, make the little dam to, like, dig, like, inside the bay,
yeah.
One of the buoys ripped, and the dude fucking breaks down crying. Like, because he's like, I'm on national TV fucking showcasing this, like, super innovative product. They talked about my company for, like, the last 20 minutes, and it's ruined. Everything is ruined on TV. Well, so there's actually a story about that in, like, the Legend of Oak Island, that there was a guy that was a... He was a slave. He got his freedom. He moved to Oak Island, and he was loaded. But nobody knows what happened to his money, and they think that that was his money, is that he found the fucking treasure on Oak Island, put it under his house, and was like, yeah.
It's like the dude in the Rockies, bro. Have you read those articles lately?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a dude dying? Who hid a big amount of treasure in the Rocky Mountains. And he wrote like a little pamphlet and a poem. And those are all your clues that you need to find
God.
It.
Are people
and
like
people are dying.
Tearing up national
yeah,
parks?
So it's like he's legitimately said that it's not an area where you have to climb a mountain or do anything crazy. But there's people dying trying to find it. And it's a legit dude.
Getting lost.
Like the government's like,
stuff.
All right, come on, stop. Like,
it's
go,
like the
go
new
get
lost
your stuff.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm going to have to look that up. Oh, you know what I should do instead? I should send an email about it to Astonishing Legends. Yeah,
there you go.
I think I just advertised for another podcast for like a half an hour right there.
It's all right. You got me hooked on it.
Oh, dude, it's a cool-ass show.
It was another podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's getting edited.
That's gone. That's all gone.
Maybe we can get a maybe we can get a shout-out from
I'm sorry, Scott and Forrest.
Maybe they'll give you guys a shout-out.
Oh, dude, that would be massive, too. They're a huge podcast.
You see that Aaron Mankey
from
Lore? They
will if I fucking send it to him.
Is
going to
be at Denver Comic Con?
So every year at Denver Comic Con, I send Juan a list of like 50 people that are like, these are the people I'd really, really like to interview.
And
these
Aaron
like
Mankey's
8
one
to
of them.
10 people that I put a star next to are the people I really, really want to interview. And Aaron Mankey's one of them.
I don't know if I've gotten that far yet.
Oh, man. I hope you can nail that one
That'd
down.
Be pretty sweet if you can nail
him. So do you know who he is?
No.
So Aaron Mankey is the host and writer of Lore. Lore is this like really cool podcast that not only is a show like, you know, on iTunes and Stitcher and whatever, like our show, which you can find at www.totlb.com.
Since we're selling everybody else's show.
Before I sell anybody else's fucking podcast. But he's turned it into like an Amazon TV show that's in its second season. And he's been like releasing like a book series that I think the fucking like third book for is out or something.
It's like Monstrous Humans or something
like that.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of but Denver Comic Con doesn't have schedules for anybody out yet.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, yeah, I'll do it, but you got to wait for my schedule to come out.
Juan doesn't. Oh, there's some hot, hot sex.
Wow.
So there's some
What's
confirmed
up, John?
Interviews
What's up,
that I'm very excited about, but Juan doesn't like it when I talk about them. So I'll tell you about it later.
Woo!
I've already told a Doyle joke for Doyle.
Yes.
Oh, so salty. Jesus, wash your fucking hands, Tim. I don't know. Tim and I are really close.
I worked
that
on a roof
like
all day today.
Shit.
So I'm burning up.
Your hands taste like shit.
Hey, you can't talk if you're not going to be on mic. We've already talked about this. So,
Gabe licked my hand and it was very erotic.
There you go.
Were you yelling at the younger guys at the
Little
Hall of Justice in Parker, Colorado?
So
it moved. It moved.
So Tim, I know you're giving away prints at this. What prints are you giving away?
Jump on my mic, Tim.
I have the.
Well, that was sexual.
Black Panther
print. You pretty excited for the beer release party as a non-drinker?
Yeah, totally excited. Has anybody got weed?
At home. I'm high as fuck.
Damn it.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
I'm going up on Saturday.
So, should we talk about, since we have a little bit of time before the shindig gets started, can we talk about Infinity War?
No, yep. We did that last time.
Come on, man.
I love that.
Come on, man. Come on. I'm excited to talk about it.
Let's talk about it. To be fair, we like intermittently spoke about it because people would come in and out. What do you think about Infinity War? And they'd say something and then wander off. Infinity War. That's exactly how Free Comic Book Day went down, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to talk about it a little bit now because this will be like the only like actual episode where we get to talk about this, I think. Like in depth. We have so much con shit coming up.
Yeah,
like,
we
in
do
the
have
next
a lot of con
weeks.
Shit.
Okay, so. Hot take. Was it good or not?
I fucking loved it.
How about you, Juan?
It was good.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
I wasn't nearly as emotional about it as I thought I was going to be.
Oh, I think it's cried like a fucking child at the end.
I think it's because I kind of knew, like having read the books, I think I just kind of knew what was going to
happen.
Same. Are we talking about Infinity War?
Yeah. Yes.
What's up,
but, so this is one thing that it definitely made me do. So Spider-Man's scenes in Age of Ultron were fucking awesome. And then Spider-Man was awesome.
You mean
Infinity.
Civil War?
Spider-Man wasn't a thing in the Ultron.
Yeah, he was. You just didn't see him swinging in the background, and I loved it. And you missed it, asshole.
It's in the deleted cut scene.
The Joss Whedon cut?
The Blu-ray.
The 13-hour Blu-ray where they put the mustache back on.
Get fucked.
So his parts were so awesome in those two movies that I actually went back and, like, the next night watched Spider-Man Homecoming. So,
right.
It was fucking awesome. That movie's great.
Right.
Like,
I loved all the Homecoming scenes where it's, like, the behind-the-scenes look at Civil War. He's like, they call me. I'm going to go in and do my thing now. Hey, everyone.
I just love all the, like... I love that all of his problems are, like, just teenager problems.
Yeah.
Except for, like, that one really fucking crazy problem.
Yeah.
Also, did not see...
Where he died?
Incoming. No, in Spider-Man. No, in Infinity War, his problems are all very serious fucking problems.
I love the scene where they're all on the bus, and he's like, Ned, I need you to make a distraction. What the fuck is that?
We're all gonna die!
We're all gonna die!
Oh, man. So what do you think? Like, so it's a pretty serious movie, like, especially at the end. Like, it's depressing and all that shit. But, like, it was really funny, like, through the whole movie. Like, how did you guys feel about the level of humor to, like, seriousness?
I thought it was pretty good. One of my favorite humorous scenes isn't the Invisible Drax. Remember that? It was pretty funny. My favorite is towards the end when Thor shows up in Wakanda with Rocket and Groot and... Thor says something to Captain America, and he's like, oh, I see you growing a beard. And he's like, oh, I like your haircut. And then Thor's like, oh, this is my friend. He's a tree.
He says, I am Groot.
Yeah, and then he's like, I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah, this is like one of my favorite lines, too.
Probably my favorite scene in that whole movie.
Definitely.
It's all pretty funny.
I did love that, too.
It's all pretty funny.
She can do that? Scene. Why has she been up there the whole time?
Right? I'm going to get that arm.
Oh, that is definitely not on the mic.
I like the part where they're all talking about, like, this is a man. You are not a man.
All right, I'm getting a Bowflex. Yes, I'm committing.
He's like, you have gotten a little doughy, Quinn. He's like, why are you
touching the man?
He's like, why are you talking like him? I'm not talking like him. He's talking like
he's
me.
He's copying my voice. Why are you talking low? So, the Gamora scene definitely got me.
That was tough.
That was tough.
How did you feel about Red Skull making an appearance?
I thought that was interesting. I liked that a lot. Red Skull's one of Hannah's favorite villains, so she was super fucking cranked about that. But, like, just the whole... Like, it just was weird. Like, I guess I don't understand the reference, like, why he's where he's at.
So
Is that from the Captain America movie?
So at the end of the Captain America movie, he's holding the Cosmic Cube, And he just kind of, and bursts into flames and kind of whoosh right up into the air through the top of the airship that crashes.
So it's been so long since I've seen Captain America that I didn't remember
10 years.
That.
So like the theory before anyone knew it was actually going to happen with the MCU was he could be dead, but then like a majority were like, nah.
That's an Infinity Stone.
That's an Infinity Stone. And that was like the prevailing fan theory that just basically got confirmed in this movie.
So I feel like I saw a meme that was like it said like old comic book fans, and it was like four guys laughing, like watching, or four comic fans watching Infinity Wars. It's like four Marvel fans that only know the MCU watching Infinity Wars, and they're all like bawling their eyes out.
Right.
And like, I'm not taking away any of the power of the
movie. I was
both. Like, it's a really, really good movie. And I definitely, like, what's weird is the part that made me feel kind of emotional was when they were just going onto the field of combat and you knew that it was like a losing battle.
Right.
That's what made me emotional. Like, when they all fade into dust at the end, though, because, like, in my brain,
because we read it, we were both like, we know this is coming, we just don't know how they're going to spin it in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like, so this is the part where, like, half the universe dies.
Yeah.
And I was, that was just kind of the end of it. That's awesome.
As far as the emotional scenes that got me, it was definitely Spider-Man dying at the end.
Some.
And then the weird torture scene with Nebula. Towards the beginning. That was fucking like way more brutal than I thought it was going to be.
We were watching with Hannah. I thought to myself for a second, should I stop like letting Hannah watch this for a minute?
Just don't close your eyes for a minute, sweetie.
So Michael Kirk just brought the glasses over here for the beer release. They are pretty cool looking. This year it's called Ragnarok.
Oh, so fucking clever.
Morgan.
Morgan, Meg Morgan's.
Wow. Again, quality podcasting.
Shmegma.
Oh, John.
This movie would be 5 minutes long. Just bring out Darkseid. It's over.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Go fuck yourself.
Here we go. No, it doesn't say.
Hey, Michael Kirk, I love DC more than Marvel, but fuck you, dude. That movie was amazing.
No, it was a good movie.
I think it's made more than DC ever.
It's made more than all the DC movies, I'm pretty sure.
So my biggest thing is, like, I really enjoy the Marvel movies. They are good movies.
They're just fun.
But I actually like the DC movies better because I'm a DC guy, so I relate with the characters better. I know.
He keeps telling himself.
Yeah. But it's okay.
It's okay.
It was a great movie.
You can like whatever you like and totally be wrong. Well, yeah, Wonder Woman was amazing. Yeah, like, I'll give you that.
How do you feel about the MCU having midgets now? Giant midgets. Huge.
Did you guys
ginormous midgets.
As I was watching.
Did you guys end up going?
So when I
I think we've all. No, I'm talking about Infinity War.
No, I thought.
So when I.
Let's take a midget wrestling.
I wanted to go.
So when I saw Peter Dinklage on there and then saw that he was a giant but a midget, I was like, literally in my mind, I was like, how would Michael Kirk feel about this? Like, is this like a new fetish for him? Like,
did it move for you a little bit? Still a midget, but he's like a 10-foot tall midget.
It's pretty awesome. We should,
you know, with the hands.
If we would have known about the midget wrestling, maybe like 6 weeks beforehand, we totally would have gone.
That's how it was for me too. If I would have known about, like, it popped up and I was like, oh shit, as a joke.
So I have a few friends that are like part of like a local wrestling thing. I'll shoot him a text and say, hey, if there's ever midget wrestling again, let me know like ahead of time because. I know some people that want to masturbate. I mean, go to it.
Wow.
Dink the Clown.
It's not weird.
Yeah.
In WWE.
Oh, man. Dink the Clown.
Doink and Dink, right?
Doink and Dink.
It was the whole family. It was the whole family.
And they came out to ravers.
There was about 10 or 12 of them.
All right, so this thing's about to get started.
John's here.
Unicorn.
So,
and we're back!
People are coming in all over the place. All
right, John, we got to make sure they take the comics and not just take the comics. Right.
I told Kim to get his glasses, by the way. So
you should maybe throw down some of our cards on your table, too.
We have some. Oh,
you guys are awesome.
This guy knows what he's doing.
I don't know.
He's a fucking pro. He's a pro at setting up tables.
Wait.
It's hard to think when you're around me like that.
Well, now there's not, but there's usually a fourth one.
There's four right now.
Tim and Dom, the thing, how it's been you, me, and Carissa for the last, like, 3 years of this thing.
Bitch.
Fuck you, man.
It's the Infinity Cast tonight, man.
What? Yeah, this
is the Infinity Cast.
What's up, home fries? What's up, home
Sup, Rio? How are you?
I love the mohawk.
Yeah. Goes with the clan tonight. Yeah.
Conan Exiles is what I was talking with Rio about. Fucking hard as shit.
What?
With a dong slider.
It does have a dong slider.
How big did you make your dick?
I've made it full size.
Full size dick?
Yeah. What else would you do? Yes.
Yeah. Oh
my God. When you're making your character, you can
change your breast
size
and your dick size.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I will give you $5.
Makes you wonder, why has this been missing in video game characters?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like, how else can we earn a mature rating? Just give him a dick sizer.
Yeah.
So you start off the game with, like, just a loincloth.
And the dick still hangs out.
Well, like when you're, so you're like hanging on a cross at the beginning.
Hanging out of the bottom?
So, no, you're hanging on a cross at the beginning of the game, and that's, you know, that's how you're positioned when you're like doing all your facial stuff and changing all that. And when you slide the dong all the way to the biggest, the loincloth like moves as it goes down. It's fucking amazing. Basically goes to about mid-thigh. It's like well past pornography level. Oh, man, it's really cool. There's a shitload of people here.
Oh, buddy, that's not when I walked up, I was just like, holy shit. And John's like, just go inside.
They say four for us, right?
First time.
Yes, it is my first time. Dude, I am so excited to be here because for once, I don't have to be at work for like 16 hours and not be here.
Hey, Gabe, it's my first time, too. So
popping our cherries together. Yeah.
Me, too, actually. This is a three-way.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is a three-way, yeah.
Oh, man.
No.
Bum, bum, bum,
I was here in spirit. Bum, bum,
bum.
Oh, try it out.
Try it out.
Piss on me, beat me.
No, it happened, it happened Frankie's at Frankie's party.
We're I advertised another podcast with him at the beginning of the show, too. Talked about Astonishing Legends for like 15 minutes, and then we talked about lore.
Such a good show.
Now we're going to talk about Tom Segura.
Such a good show. Such a good show.
Water champ.
What did you bring to give away?
The meth dick guy. I'm totally getting a four-stroke gang shirt.
Yeah. Comic books. Yeah, maybe talk into the mic, though. I'm just high all the time, so
it's
I talk
because when I have sex with Gabe, I have to, like, hide it from the kids and Mel so that they don't find out. So it's like,
yeah, do it.
Come on, man. $5. Go be the back half of that horse.
Completely emotionless. It's completely emotionless sex.
It's not worth $5. I put it up there. It's not worth $10.
All you gotta do is go be the back half of that horse.
I gotta try this beer.
What is it? It's raspberry infused what though?
It's a like wit. A raspberry infused wheat beer.
I don't know shit about beer.
It's a light beer.
Occasionally liquor.
It's a light beer. They're all peachy. They're all honestly. Oh, no, they're all kind of boring because when you're making beer for such a giant crowd, you can't make it too crazy.
Yeah, you gotta.
But still, a fun fact: Denver Comic Con is the only one that has its own beer every year.
Boom!
Why it doesn't have its own San Diego. Baffles me so.
Suck it, San Diego. San Diego Comic Con doesn't have a beer, do they? No. Nope, fuck you, San Diego. Wow. And your fucking trademarks.
I love San Diego.
Thank
so.
You for our press passes.
Yeah, I like San Diego.
But also thank
a
you
lot.
For the press passes. Yeah. We love you. The whale's vagina beer.
What would you name that?
Vagina beer.
Oh, okay. No, you name it. I don't know if you had you a name clever it, name for it, too.
You name it Santiago.
I think you should try to do, like, a homebrew for the whale's vagina beer. And then all right,
so,
Gabe, challenge for the,
so next year we gotta develop a strain for Denver Comic Con. We'll have a...
I don't know how to grow weed.
We'll figure it out. I got friends.
All right.
All right.
I don't know
that
how
was
to
enough.
Grow weed. Baleen trim. Ryan, how are you?
Come get on mic. Talk to us.
He'll come by. He's busy. He's busy. Always at the beginning, he's busy.
He'll come by, like, come from a dick?
No.
Face, neck, and chest?
That's a Ryan from Breckenridge Brewery.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So I hope.
Behind the plant.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see his response?
To what? Oh, yes, I did, actually. Yes, the Anheuser-Busch thing.
Yeah, exactly. So Breckenridge was purchased
by... Side note, there's another mic right there.
So Breckenridge was purchased by AB InBev, so Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
Some jackass gets on the Raznarok beer release Facebook event thing and is like, man, I really wish it was somebody else who's really local. And Ryan got on his personal Facebook account and was like, let me break this down for you, man. I've been doing this for however many years since Denver Comic Con was a thing before Anheuser-Busch bought Breckenridge Brewery. And, you know, we donate a shit ton of money to Pop Culture Classroom.
They fund it.
Yeah, this is all them. This isn't really DCC's thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it was like, good job, dude. Fucking put that clown that shoes in his Bentley's place.
It was amazing. He's all, I'm going to do it on my personal page. It was
so
really
you
cool.
You know it was me.
Yeah.
Oh.
No question.
I don't got to hide nothing.
Who?
I don't got to sugarcoat nothing.
Who?
Loki's here.
Loki's dead.
Two Lokis are here. Maybe. We don't know.
Actually, I think everybody else.
Yeah. That's another great scene from the movie.
Star-Lord's dead. What's wrong
with, who's that guy supposed to be?
he was the director of special effects.
The poor extra guy is like, I wasn't even in the movie. Half the universe, asshole.
You're dead.
Man, you guys didn't tell me we were cosplaying today.
Oh, man, that was probably my other favorite line in Infinity War, the Nick Loki. Fury.
Oh, yeah.
When he's all, oh, mother fades out. Fudger, of course, is what he's going to say.
Like, there are a lot of just, like, really well-done scenes in that movie.
It really is just...
When Thor's talking
to Rocket. 2.5 hours of damn near nothing
but like,
action.
He's like, I lost my mom. I lost my dad. I've lost my brother twice. I'm pretty sure he's actually dead this time.
And then he asks him, is your brother the kind of person that comes back? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hello!
Hello there. What's happening?
I have no idea what this is, but I'm happy.
Hey, me neither.
Well, tell us your name.
Oh, okay. That's
they're totally
this
like
is a
fun.
Part of
it's
our cosplay.
The land of make-believe. I'm Kevin. Hi.
Somebody gave him a card.
So you have an Archer and Ant-Man shirt. Explain your shirt
that's
to us.
That's fucking amazing.
That's how you get ants, man.
That's how you get ants, man.
Yes, this is...
Somebody give him a card.
I'm getting there.
And a sticker.
And a sticker. Okay. There's two assholes sitting right in front of me.
Oh, credit card. Yeah, bring it
right
over.
Credit card.
Zero of my credit cards are usable, I assure you.
Hey, Juan, I thought I made it quite clear that
my wife has all
other
my
podcasts today.
So that's true. He did say that.
This is the first like, other podcast free like 15 minutes.
We're,
though,
a,
so.
We're a pop culture podcast, by the way. Nobody has bothered to explain that to you.
Yes.
We
so
talk
the
about
simple
movies.
Explanation.
Well, it'd be weird if you're like, we discuss badgers and badgers only. And
we are all badger podcasts.
Maybe bears and
badger
bears only.
Badge, yeah.
Badger badge. Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Badger the issues in any of our podcasts. We're resentful of all these nerds.
I feel like you're pitching me on a podcast you want to put out.
That's actually my podcast. Badgeringtheissue.com. That's it.
No, just kidding. I don't even know.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually a thing, but if it is, I feel like I've infringed on intellectual property now.
I know.
Bad.
You could definitely sue somebody for taking that idea because it is incredibly original.
Outside the long box.
That is correct.
That
one's Juan. The guy in the Lion Cat shirt is John, and I'm Gabe.
He owns the comic book shop that you got that beautiful comic from. Did you just, you guys just ignored the guy who came up to talk to
him? No, you were talking to him.
We were talking to him.
Also, bye.
Is cool. It looks really cool. I'm very excited about that.
I don't know who Brian Cox is.
I'm very aroused.
Oh, Brian Cox.
Juan just got fired.
It actually sounded amazing from when he was talking about it.
It sounded
really
awesome.
Good.
Now, Brian Cox, is that probably the biggest guy you've gotten interviewed so far?
I think that's a perspective thing. Like, you know what I mean?
So for me, it's not.
Yeah.
Who's like, the biggest you got to interview?
Probably
for you?
For me, the biggest person that we interviewed was Ben Temple Smith.
Okay.
Like, because he's, like, one of those, like, kind of...
Physically large?
No. Like,
no,
he's
just
not
like
physically
me.
Large
hey,
no.
either. The one, fuck the... you guys.
You're never around anymore, so I can't tell when you're joking.
No.
You don't love us anymore.
Dude, that's a lie. That's how we're going to get people to the table.
I know.
What?
Are those fat guys
here?
Fighting?
Come on!
We gotta put a plate with like one French fry right there. You gotta start yelling at each other.
I'm hungry, Becky. Lay off.
So Ben Temple Smith,
lay off me. I'm starving. Yeah.
Ben Temple Smith is probably like, for me, was like the biggest interview. But it's
raccoon. That's Rocket Raccoon, I mean, on his mic right there.
There's all sorts of awesome people that we've interviewed though.
Up,
Brian Cox was amazing. Jerry. Oh, what was her last name? The lady that we interviewed that was from Aliens and Near Dark. Holy shit, why can I not remember her name?
Yeah, that's all. She like she had bras. Something called bras.
Yes, I did Jeanette it.
Goldstein.
My stoner
Boom.
Brain did it.
Yay!
Yay! Hey,
come talk to us about comics and shit.
Hello,
guys.
New person. What's your name?
Why are you here?
Ryan from Colorado.
Yeah, wow.
Why are you here, Ryan?
I'm just here for a nice free glass, nice free comic, and to help set up the Denver Comic Con in a month.
Oh, nice. So what are you going to be doing specifically for the con this year, or do you know yet?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be taking... I want to basically meet Ray Park,
because I want to meet him. I've been a huge Darth Maul fan ever since the first Star Wars.
Nice.
And he's a great martial artist. I love to talk to him. And then definitely meet the two Hellboys.
All right. Nice.
Ray Park should have definitely been in all three of those movies.
I know. I mean, he just got cut so easily.
It made no fucking
sense. Eh.
Dude, those movies didn't make any sense. Like, look, I love Star Wars, but those, like, the prequel trilogy is rough, like, to watch.
Lisa Jar Jar Binks.
I mean, I honestly like three myself.
All right, stop.
I like three myself, but one, I only like the fight. Like, if you watch it enough times, the only thing you like is the fight. And then two, no. But three, I like the premise of the story because then it tells how the whole thing got set up.
Three was the one that I enjoyed the most, and it was still kind of a rough watch.
The problem with the prequels is that you watch the whole movie for a moment.
Right.
Like episode one, you sit through like 1:45 for Duel of the Fates.
Right.
Amazing. And then episode two, you sit through like 2 hours of literal garbage to watch
Yoda
and Dooku fight.
Right, yeah.
I love Senate Hearings.
And then same thing kind of with episode three. Like the whole Obi-Wan Jango chase.
Yeah,
that one was pretty good. That's all you have to do. You can skip through Anakin and Padme, and it's
three was palatable, but I really watched it to see Anakin and Obi-Wan fight at the end.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because that was fucking amazing.
I don't think I've seen them since they came out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was like, I think it's 12 years ago.
I think I saw all three of them in the theater at least like twice,
right?
Just with different people. But I definitely...
I don't want to cut anybody off. I'm sorry. People are starting to line up to talk.
All right, Kanye.
Yes, apparently. I was just told off mic.
Off mic.
All right, Kanye.
Somebody was talking to me in my ear.
I hope you have fun tonight. Have an enjoyable Denver Comic Con.
Yeah,
take a card.
Why don't you?
That was a sticker. Have a card as well.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Why don't you be the arbiter of stickers and cards?
I'm trying to, like,
right there.
Trying to pregame the sets here. Somebody want to talk?
Come talk comics and nerdy shit with us. Yes.
However, there's.
I doubt it.
No,
the level that I'm working at most of the time, definitely not.
What he means by that is stoned out of his mind. No,
correct.
It's all good.
I even wore my bong ripper shirt tonight.
Good for you.
So, hello. What is your name?
My name is Jenny Avila.
And Jenny, you are here obviously tonight for the beer release party. What are you most excited for Denver Comic Con this year?
I'm actually looking forward to seeing some of the new artists that are coming out and kind of seeing if I can pick up some new pieces of swag. So every year I kind of have a different focus, and this year I'm hoping to find some artwork books and some
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I have a sketchbook that I'm slowly having different artists put Conan the Barbarian sketches into.
Oh, interesting.
So like this year I hope I get like at least one, maybe two.
One has something similar. He's got a book where every other page is either Green Arrow or Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a Green Arrow Spider-Man.
Ah. Yeah. Which came out extensively bad.
I love it.
A new sketch.
I love it.
So you're wearing a Captain America shirt. What, like, in the realm of comic books and movies and stuff like that, like, kind of what's your favorite property right now?
I would have to say I'm pretty much a Marvel girl, and I'm quite a geek. I have about 70 action figures on my desk at work. So
wow,
yeah.
like the big action figures or lots of Funko Pops or
they're action figures. They're
nice.
the eight inch ones. So
oh, nice. Very cool.
So when I get when I'm in a meeting, sometimes I'll because Iron Man has a weapon, I'll shoot the other ones when I get angry.
So. Nice.
These idiots.
You got to go on ThinkGeek sometime and find one of the USB like. Remote control, like Nerf dart launchers.
Oh,
they're pretty awesome.
Awesome.
You just plug it into your computer, it has a webcam and everything, so you can aim it at your friends.
Fun.
Yeah,
fun.
It's awesome.
How do you feel about Hellboy and or Black Panther?
I like them both, but I'm more of a Black Panther, you know, kind of girl.
That was a really weird
Marvel and stuff. So. Oh, you're okay.
Why was it a really weird question? Because I may have a print to give this one. She said she was into artwork.
Oh my god! Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on and talking to us. I do have cards. Actually.
Yeah, give her your card, dumbass.
Because he's not
then
with us.
Give him our card.
He kind of held on to the car like
I'm
the Terminator
little,
from Terminator
I'm
2.
A little stoned myself. All
right. thank you very very much.
Don't forget to give her our sticker too.
Yeah, and our card.
That is
okay.
The set.
Tag yourself.
That's the set.
Tag yourself on our Facebook page.
Okay.
I'll upload it later tonight.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Can I take a picture of you with it?
Oh,
with
sure.
The print.
And that's him. He did that.
It's awesome.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate it.
See you at the con. I hope. Please come back by
and give me money.
and buy something.
Yeah, talk.
Oh, Dom lost his voice.
Mel says I was sucking some cock.
He was sucking my dick.
Mel says, or you were?
I was trying to give him a little.
Don't argue with Mel.
I was trying to give him a little bit of my jizz to sort of his throat.
Hey, so you probably know this place better than I do, right? Have you been here before? Do they have food here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Mel needs food. Wizard needs food badly.
Wizard or lizard?
Wizard. Have you not played Gauntlet before? No. Wizard needs food badly. Wizard needs food badly.
You
Wizard
have found dead. Another room.
I was a Golden
stone.
Axe guy.
You want to do me a favor?
Oh, yeah. It tastes like, what is that Leinenkugel one called? It tastes
oh,
like
the raspberry Leinenkugel.
Yeah. I like it. It's not bad.
Juan, you want to try a sip?
I did try a sip.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to walk away for a second and figure out how to get her food.
They're figuring it out right now.
Oh.
It might clear up your throat.
Yeah. Awesome.
Don't worry about it. Sucker.
I want to miss a couple days of work.
No, I'm
so
worried
bring
about
it on.
Because keeping her happy is
I
my
thought
job.
You, I thought, honestly, she just asked me, so I thought she walked away and did it.
I thought there would be way more people here.
There was. There has been.
I think it'll
and they also
fill up.
All funneled that way.
Yeah,
like, really fast.
Like, straight to the bar.
Yeah, this is actually very...
I mean, this is
and
a bar,
the,
too.
We're in the far back area, too.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And the band
that band will be over
yet.
There.
Gotcha. I haven't started
I was curious,
because
you set up here, and there's a stage right behind you. I was like, how the hell is anyone
no,
going to hear
no,
what we're
no.
saying if they
she,
set up
she,
there?
She was like, there's a whole other stage that's not going to be used if you guys want to set up back
right
there.
Right on. I've never been here. This is a pretty cool place. I dig the venue.
It
they
is
have,
cool.
I think they have skeet ball and shit over there.
The only
there.
Thing that terrifies
nice.
Me is that
skeet
they have
ball
a fish
or ski ball?
No, ski ball.
Skeet ball?
No, ski.
Like the band.
Like jizz?
Yeah. Yeah. Like no skeet, part skeet of me would ever want to be in this bar when that's
now.
Happening.
What's
I
happening?
I have no fish. They have a fish trivia night. Oh, that makes me kind of want to commit suicide.
I don't know any of their songs, though.
I bet you know the, what? I know who they are.
I bet the comedian shows up for that. Just because it's so many hateful things in one
I
night.
I hate that guy.
I hate that guy.
I hate when people come on our show and pretend like they're going to be funny and then they're just fucking not.
I mean, that was me at first.
No.
And then I did the whole butt
you
plug
were,
thing and that
shy.
Ran with it.
Yeah, like one.
You stayed pretty far back the first couple
You were
times.
Terrified.
Yeah.
I can tell you were gun shy. You're like that, man, I've had a lot of phallic things in my face, but not like this. No, the first episode he was
the first
ever
time
on,
I was on
was
the show.
Nervous.
Anyone who cares to go back, what it's probably a couple episodes now at this point, but
a couple episodes.
You've been on like every episode.
By a couple, I mean like
50,
like almost a year's worth of episodes.
Yeah, no, yesterday, as Steve Merriman and I would say, yesterday.
Yeah, it's like last episode.
Every day
but,
before today is just yesterday.
Yeah.
It makes things less confusing.
Yes.
Literally, I'll go over to Steve's house and he'll be like, "Hey, you remember yesterday when we, you know, raced with a car down the street?"
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Before Ashton was born, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, it was totally yesterday. Before Ashton was born.
Hey, there's a lot of fucking yesterdays, man.
There's
it's
a lot of
yesterdays.
Yesterday. I mean, technically, they are all
they
yesterdays.
They are all yesterday.
I know.
It's okay. It's
I'm sorry.
Sex. That, so.
But he lives with you, so that's also
holla.
Hot.
See, my question for Gabe is, when do you sleep?
Because
you watch a lot of shows, you listen to a lot of podcasts, you read a lot of
like
comics.
6 hours of video games.
You play video games.
What's that? Oh, so yeah, the podcast stuff I do while I'm at work. So like I sit down. Oh, here, come over on this, Mike.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
I'll explain my podcast listening later.
Okay.
Hi.
Just start talking, huh?
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Well, first, what's your
introduce
name,
yourself.
Introduce yourself.
Johnny McCloskey.
Johnny McCloskey, realtor extraordinaire.
Big friend.
Big friend of Tim Husky.
He may or may not have purchased an original Swamp Thing recently.
Oh, holla, dude.
And they incentivized me to talk
Check
to you guys.
Out.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
I'm so
moving the
pop,
Swamp Thing
so.
Tattoo.
I'm really nervous.
Right. I think I'm Facebook friends with you.
We are, okay.
I think. Mike Kirk.
Say it again?
So is Mike Kirk.
Are you spelling
it's
over here,
fucked
too?
Up spelling, no. It's K-U-Y-K.
Mike, get the fuck out of the way. Let a stranger on Mike.
Comic friend.
Juan. Juan.
It's
a lot of anger.
Juan.
It's a lot
sharp,
of anger.
She's not a midget. Get out of the way.
She's only 5'1".
I'm going to try.
She's got a thing for midgets. It's not weird.
Is he ignoring,
hey,
he's ignoring
kiss
you.
Kiss my ass, Juan. Okay, was it Mark? Is that
Johnny.
What,
Johnny, yeah.
McCloskey.
Pay attention.
I've met him for 30 seconds. I'm
there's a lot of, yeah. There's a lot of tension. I think it's this, the excitement. Is that what it is?
A lot of people in this room.
There is.
Don't kill me. Al, what's your name?
I'm Alex.
Alex, and be sure to talk right into the mic
all
as
right.
loud as you can.
Sounds good.
And then what's your name?
I'm Caitlin.
Caitlin. Okay, so you're a Swamp Thing fan. Who are you a fan of?
I like Black Widow a lot.
What's that?
Black Widow.
Black Widow, awesome. And
all right, I'm a Star-Lord fan for life.
Star-Lord, yes. Right.
I mean, Swamp Thing's great, don't get me wrong.
No, Swamp Thing's the best.
But I do like...
Don't change your mind.
Stephanie Brown. Batgirl, spoiler, oh, okay. Yeah. Robin. Oh, shit. Yeah. Kind of big on her. She's
so, you seem like you're a DC fan.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
There's obviously some tension Marvel movies and the DC movies.
Oh, yeah.
How are you feeling about those DCUs?
Uh-oh. Okay, so first of all, I'm not a huge movie guy.
A qualifying statement.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge movie guy.
Okay.
However, I feel like the public gangs up on the DC movies.
Because they're awful.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I would say some of the Marvel movies aren't as good as people say.
Oh, no, some of the Marvel movies are terrible.
Yeah, so and they get hyped. They get a lot of...
I mean, except for all of them, because
Marvel gets a lot of grace.
Except for Fantastic Four.
Except for which one?
Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. Those are a hot mess. They did already. We got that. I got this under control.
So I do think I think that Marvel gets a little bit... They get a pass.
Deal with it.
They get a little bit more of a pass.
Okay, and you guys feel free to chime in whenever... But I feel like the Marvel movies get a little bit more of a pass because, like, the first, like, four of them were so fucking solid that, like, people are like, oh, yeah, these are good. And then, like, the DC ones, it was like, oh, that was okay. Oh, that wasn't good at all. Oh, Wonder Woman was fun.
Wonder Woman's good. Yeah.
Wonder Woman's amazing. It's the best that they've done.
And the Batman.
I can almost
and Gal Gadot.
The Batman trilogy was pretty good.
Does that really count?
Well, I would say yeah.
I think it's before, though. I guess
before Marvel came out.
But yeah, those are amazing. It's hard to fuck Batman up.
Yes.
He's Batman.
They can still do it.
No, I know. I saw the Val Kilmer one in the theater like 5 times.
Yeah, they've probably done it a few times, actually.
So, going into Con, what are you guys looking forward to the most?
I'm looking into like artwork and then all of cosplays. I just love cosplay. I just wish I could do it myself.
Like as far as artwork goes, like are you talking like buying posters? Or are you getting sketches? Like what's
I like posters and the sketches are fun. I like the watercolor ones. That's what I'm looking for.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, what's Mac? What's his first name?
David Mac. Yeah.
So he was at Colorado Springs Comic Con last year.
Okay.
Go check out like his Kabuki watercolors and stuff. Fucking phenomenal.
He's crazy.
Artist.
He's awesome.
Nice. Also check out Stephanie Hans.
Yeah.
Hands
oh my god.
The best watercolors in the
industry Mara right that she sent John is unreal. All right, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
Well, it'll be my first Comic-Con, so I'm just, like, ready to just soak in the, like, whole experience. And
it's amazing.
The cosplayers and all that.
So, like, every year, like, as we're recording, like, the final moments of the episode for the con, I always get super choked up because it feels like this crazy, like, family moment because we're all here to do the same shit. We're all here to be nerds and have fun.
Yeah.
And watch. Aww. Yeah, I'm totally ish. But I did cry at the end of Infinity War somehow. It's weird.
You didn't cry? Is that what you said?
I cried
the whole movie.
Well, part of it was I kind of knew what was coming because I read the book like a zillion years ago.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I mean, this is where everybody dies. Oh, that is louder than I was anticipating.
Is that the weird way of saying stop?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, keep
going.
We're
here all night.
Keep
you just got to talk louder. Push through it.
Choke up on that mic.
That's right. Get on it. Who was talking? Who was talking before me, though? Was it Juan?
It doesn't matter.
Was it Juan?
Yes,
should we
taking very little LSD.
Can we disinfect this mic?
No.
Right,
no.
He's
not. Okay.
Not a mouther.
I don't even know what that means. I don't. I'm very innocent.
So how about you? What are you looking forward to at the con?
You know, I'm a big artist guy. So I commissioned David Finch.
Nice.
For a sketch today. I think I did. I'm trying to.
You think you did?
I think I did. I haven't paid yet, but it's in the works. And then just some of the artists. Yeah, I like the artists a lot.
We got a big interview this week that I'm not allowed to announce on the show yet, but there's definitely a bunch of interviews coming up from the con that I'm really, really excited about. So, like, I don't know. What else, guys? What are you looking forward to? Movies, TV, anything?
I'm excited for the second Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah. So seeing Infinity War... And seeing Civil War, I love Spider-Man's parts in it, but I had never gone back to watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
So we got done with Infinity War, and then I went home, And, like, the next morning we watched Black Panther with my little one. And then, like, a few hours later we watched Spider-Man. And it was fucking unreal.
It was awesome. He's definitely the best Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's actually the right age.
Yeah,
it was... They messed it up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little too... He was a little... Tobey Maguire, a little too awkward.
Yeah. He was amazing. So, anything you're looking forward to?
I mean, I know it's, like, tomorrow, but Deadpool's gonna be cool.
Oh, yeah, Deadpool's out.
All the reviews I've read have said if you like the first Deadpool, you'll love this one. If you didn't like the first Deadpool, don't go watch this one.
So. Who doesn't like the first one?
I've heard good things already.
That's what I've heard
Which never happens. The sequel
being better. That's not true. Infernal Affairs 2.
Which one?
It's called Infernal Affairs.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's awesome. It's the movie that The Departed is based on.
Okay.
But the sequel, the Korean sequel to it is unreal. So
okay.
Definitely check it out. Well, guys, go have fun.
All
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming on the show.
We got
a lot more people.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you at convention. We'll be wandering around. Feel free to say hi.
Come talk to us.
Take this one.
Not you, Juan. Fuck you. We want this guy.
No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
As fast as my fat ass can go, man.
Fucking get off my nuts.
No, I was trying to figure out what you were doing.
I was getting on this mic like a motherfucker.
Getting on that mic real hard.
Hot in here.
It's just you.
I am dying right now.
Yes.
Anyway.
You okay?
Yeah.
You need one of these?
Eventually, yeah.
Introduce yourself, brother. Who are you?
My name's Marcus.
Right on.
Marcus.
And Marcus... So we're kind of just talking to people, obviously, here. You're here at the beer release. You're here to have fun for Denver Comic Con before it happens. But going into con, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I'll say this much. For me, personally, I actually know the artist who drew
the very cool
class and everything. So that was something I was really looking forward to. But I'm also looking forward to just having fun with my friends because we're going to... Basically doing kind of a group Comic-Con cosplay for the first time, so we'll see how that turns out. So I'm looking forward to that.
So who are you planning on dressing as?
I don't have a clue yet.
Awesome.
But based upon what my friend's doing, he might go as the Green Arrow. I might try, my friend drew me a Static Shock a few years ago, so I might try and do that.
Oh, nice.
I used to love that cartoon.
That cartoon was great.
Oh, my God. So good.
That nostalgia, right?
I remember being like 7 years old and be like, he's flying on a manhole cover with lightning. That is badass.
Yes.
I remember watching that cartoon and being
that fucking cartoon.
Why did they take Dungeons and Dragons off?
Fucking nerd.
Oh, I was so bummed when they took D&D off of there.
That was what? Was that Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network
was
back
WB.
Then?
WB.
WB.
That started out on WB.
Good Lord. It's even further back than I thought.
Yeah, that was forever ago.
Does WB even have cartoons anymore?
No, not like that.
No.
They used to do like Disney Afternoon and then there were Saturday and Sunday cartoons.
Back when life was good and we had good fucking cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Instead back of fucking SpongeBob. Do you like SpongeBob? Please say no.
SpongeBob was one of those I used to watch and I was like, okay. And then you transition out a little bit. You're like, okay, let's move on.
Right.
You go back to it, you're like, this is really adult themed. Hold on a second.
I never let my kids watch SpongeBob specifically because of that.
Yeah.
It's because I watched an episode one time. I was like, this isn't fucking for kids.
It's weirdly adult. It's
like, Ren and Stimpy, too.
That's what I was about to say.
Ren and Stimpy started out as like a comics with an X, like porno comic. Almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or cartoon, I mean. So
I remember looking back on that. I was like, how did my mom and my dad allow me to watch this?
Same here.
Well,
right? I think. Because I'm assuming you're, like, in your
30s. Yeah, I'm actually 30 years old.
Okay. So I feel like, you know, I'm a little bit older. I'm about 10 years older than that. But I feel like that generation of parents was definitely, I have so much shit going on. Taking care of you, feeding you, everybody's working.
And my two jobs, maybe three.
Just watch TV and stay the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
And I know I watched literally whatever the fuck I felt like watching when I was a kid.
Yeah, anything that was like on liquid television, like Aeon Flux.
Should not have been watching that shit. Yeah, it's true.
Original episodes of Beavis and Butthead.
Right?
Oh,
or like, I remember when I was a kid, Evil Dead 1 was on USA Up All Night.
Yes.
But I mean, I fucking watched Evil Dead when I was like 13, 14.
Nah,
I
got not good to put a tale in about Evil Dead, actually.
I'll do it.
Because there's Denver Public Libraries here. I basically have lived here for 30 years. So, you know, local native and everything. I went to Denver Public Library, I think it was maybe 8 or 9.
and I was looking through the movies. I'm like, oh, Evil Dead. This is probably just like a comical evil, you know, horror movie. Me and my dad are sitting there watching. I'm like, what in the world
Why is this available for kids? Right?
Like, the librarian person let me check it out.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
just like, really? Okay. And looking back on it, I was like, whoa, how did that happen? But it was a good experience for me because that was a good film.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't want that happening to me. It was a
I'm
good
definitely
film.
Not reading out of any leather-bound books ever.
Never.
Exactly. That was a good lesson.
Yeah, there's even a face worried. On this book.
No.
No.
Yeah, not touching
hard,
it.
Hard pass, bud. Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Oh, yeah. So I have a very similar experience. I checked out Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns when I was... man. When I was maybe like 11. Dying over here. Like, same difference. Like, early middle school. I was like, there can be boobs in a comic book? What the fuck? Like, oh, it was crazy. I know, right? And it's fun. It's fun to just remember all that stuff and remember what you were exposed to. And much like my parents, my dad actually one time, I was watching, like, I remember, I think it was The World's Strongest. And out of nowhere, my dad said, hey, you know what? Piccolo's going to show up. I was like, wait. Record scratch, you know, like, wait. How do you know who Piccolo is? And he's just like, I know who Piccolo is. I know who Goku is. I know Goku's your favorite because he's got the power pole. And you love that staff. I'm like, yeah, because I could hit somebody a mile away and they wouldn't even know it.
It's funny. I do that to my son every once in a while. But it has to be like a very specific era of anime. Like, it has to be like that, like, 95 to like 2003 anime.
Yeah.
But he started like watching Rurouni Kenshin, which was like my absolute favorite show for like
good,
the longest time.
I don't know who that is.
And he was like, dude, this show and blah blah blah, this is happening and that's happening. I'm like, yeah, I know, dude. Like, SNL. I used to literally own all of those in fan sub.
Left them with you guys.
He's like, what's fan sub? I was like, holy shit, you're a child.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I had to like sit him down and explain like tape trading and fan sub and all sorts of shit, man.
That like, oh yeah, culture, Captain, you know? Captain Harlock or Harlot. What the hell is his name?
Harlock?
Harlock.
Yeah.
God damn.
That's they made Harlock. A movie out of that.
That's a
like
deep
a
cut.
Live action movie.
But I mentioned that to some kids at another con, and they were like, how do you know this? And I'm like, that anime is like 30 years old.
That's the other thing that's funny to do is when kids are like, yeah, I really dig anime. I'm into like this list of shows
absolutely.
That are on like Adult Swim.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, you're not, dude. Like, here's like 30 shows that you've never heard of that you absolutely have to watch.
Same,
yeah.
right?
My favorite to pull out is Serial Experiments Lane.
Yeah.
It's like super bizarre and just like,
man,
so tasteful and artful and beautiful.
Which one?
Serial Experiments Lane.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, so good. I cried. That made me cry.
That was a very underrated anime for its time.
I know. It
really
was beautiful.
Was.
It's heart wrenching.
Storytelling was phenomenal.
It
absolutely.
Is.
I agree. That's something I've been into my entire life, too.
Nice.
Just, yeah, it's nice to run into people who know some bits of that and that part of that culture and how that kind of, you know, leaked into the Western side just slowly but surely and was like, you know, word of mouth and everything. And
right.
then
it was
you
just so,
got that, you traded tapes and all that. I
it was
remember
so,
that.
It was so different, like, in the early 90s because, like, the internet was just kind of starting.
Yeah.
So you would, like, literally get on, like, bulletin boards and, like, talk with people that were in different countries and they'd be like, well, I have episodes this and this of these seasons. And you would say, I have episodes this and this of these seasons. And you would just swap VHSs.
So I had an anime club in high school.
Nerd.
And I was the VP for the club for a little while. So my locker was like the drop-off point.
Oh, man.
So like only members in the club knew the combination. And there would be like a whole pile of like Love Hina. And then like giant robots and space sci-fi.
Oh, nice.
But, like, you could never watch any of them straight through because certain DVDs would be gone.
Oh, I hope it got in there.
I think it did. Surprisingly, it was you for a change and not me. I'm sorry.
I know. You have to be careful of that. I went to East High School, so that was not really too much of a thing. But it was still there. There was still that culture. You just had to find the people. They were kind of hiding out in the corner. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? You playing Magic?
Yeah,
all
right.
Let's talk anime real quick while you're playing Magic. All right, let's do that.
So
and it was just like everything was just like
so we have
together.
Gabe and I have both been busted like at the lunch table
playing
for
Magic,
gambling air quotes, but we were actually playing Magic
because,
the Gathering.
Like, so say you have like a token like generating card.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Me and my friends literally went to the grocery store and bought like a package of poker chips
to use as tokens, because this is like 1994.
Yeah, that
like,
shit didn't exist.
There was no market for like, you know, countdown dies and like tokens and shit like
you
that.
You were either buying poker chips or like recycling podcasts.
or buying the little stones that go in fish tanks.
Yes.
Yes.
I totally did that too.
Yeah, right?
Like the Michael's melted marbles.
So we're like literally sitting at like the table at school and the teacher's like, there's no gambling at school. I'm like, we're not gambling. We're playing like a card game. They're like, is that a pentagram on your card? I went to a Jesus school, so they got very upset.
You were like, no.
No, I was like, hail Satan. And then they were like, go home.
It's like, go home now.
For like 2 weeks again.
Oh, man. Sometimes schools, that's how they are.
So my son lives part-time with my ex-wife, and they're moving, so they're about to go to a new school. And so they went to the new school's orientation, and they were having like a really good time. And then my son discovered that there is a geek club that meets and they rotate through board game, Dungeons and Dragons, card games, and
that's
they just
legit.
Do like nerd shit every week.
Hell yeah.
And he was more excited about that than anything else that had to do with his new school or his move. And it's literally all he talked about.
That's good though. That's
it's
fucking
amazing.
Awesome.
He's so stoked. He's like, you'll have to bust out the magic cards. I was like, oh man, okay.
Here we go. Here we go again.
Here go 2 10,000 card boxes into somebody else's house. For him to use like 50 of the cards.
Just deck building.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. You got to sort through all of them. Be like, all right, I got to go through all this. What can I use? What do I want to build?
There's a lot of mana in here.
Yeah, but that's good for your son, too, because that's going to help build him in a social sense. And not only that, an intellectual sense as well, because that's actually something that, you know, builds a lot of dynamics. Because I myself, I'm not going to lie, I have like 20 different decks in Magic, but none of them are the same. They're all different.
Absolutely.
And learning that, I was like, okay, hold on a second.
That was my favorite part of playing the game when I actively played it, was just trying to say, how does this combination of cards, how can I make it better than the last time?
Right.
Or how can I make something totally different out of all of that?
Exactly.
Oh, fucking sit down, man.
Oh, yeah, here we go. All right.
Fresh blood.
Hey,
fresh
go.
Meat.
Coming in. New fish. New fish.
New fish.
All right. Bud, what's your name?
My name's Alexander Stevens. Alexander Stevens.
And do you just go by Alexander or Alex?
Alex is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have a hard time remembering your full
name. You're good, man.
Because I live in Colorado.
Hey, you're good, man.
I smoke a lot of dope. But kind of the basic start off for the question. You're obviously here for the rollout for Denver Comic Con's Brew.
Yep.
What are you excited about for the convention?
I'm honestly really excited to meet David Harper.
David Harper?
Yeah, Hopper, man, from Stranger Things.
Right?
Yeah, that's exciting. And then I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to meet Sean Gunn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's going to be good. I'm actually going to be, there's some cool stuff going on there. We actually got picked up to do a panel. So that's kind of exciting for a film panel.
So plug your panel. What's it going
to
be called?
So it's going to be Amateur to Professional, How to Get into Filmmaking.
Nice.
It's going to be a pretty cool panel that we're going to be doing. And it's going to be kind of neat because me and my brother have been into filmmaking about a year and a half. And then we're actually going to get, we have some friends that we've met down here in the Denver film community that are more professional stature. They're going to actually be doing some, answer some questions and stuff and helping people.
Nice.
Kind of more of an educational thing. We kind of want to answer questions and stuff.
So do you have a project you can plug too? Because feel free.
We actually have a project coming up. We're nothing official, nothing out there yet. We're actually filming the Kickstarter in 2 weeks, but we actually do have a Star Wars fan film that we're going to be putting together here soon. And to be honest, it's probably going to be a pretty big project. I'm pretty excited about it.
It's probably going to be better than the prequels.
Well, yes, it is.
I agree with that.
No, it's exciting, man.
I set a low bar for you.
Yeah, exactly. No, we have some really cool special effects. A really good special effects guy that has actually worked in the first 3 seasons of Breaking Bad. He also did Transformers, first two Transformers. So it's some exciting stuff. We got some really cool people working on this project. I'm looking forward to getting it started. So, but yeah, man,
good
really
coming.
Quick.
Do you want to get that guy on the mic?
Roger?
Yeah. I'm going to do this. Marcus, thanks for being on the show. It was awesome.
My name is Marcus Adair, too. So that way, if you have to put this on the podcast and stuff, you know.
Awesome. If you have, did you say you have a project you want to plug or anything?
No, not really. I mean, I'm just a massage therapist. So,
nice.
There's no real plug in there except to say that. So.
Like happy ending or no?
No.
Just checking.
Not a masseur, sir.
Okay.
There's a key difference in that.
I got to ask.
Yeah, so, you know, massage therapist.
You're on the level.
I'm on the medical professional side of things. Nice. So much so, you know, on the pleasure side of things.
Nice.
That's what a masseur is. That's the difference. A lot of people don't understand that difference, so I guess that's my plug, I guess. I don't know, but that's about it.
Nice. Well, Marcus, thanks for coming on the show. We'll hit you up. Be sure to take a card and a sticker for yourself if you haven't gotten one already.
Thank you. I will, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys enjoy the rest of the night.
Oh, we will. Enjoy beers.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Come on over, man.
He's with me.
Come on over then.
don't
think you can just stand there. All right, tell us your name, man.
Roger.
Roger?
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if you were all the way on the mic yet. So Alex and Roger, you guys are here together. Are you involved with his movie bullshit or no?
I hear about it all the time.
That's what I figured. Sorry, I gotta give you shit or I'm
I get you, man.
So, you know, he's excited to meet, like, Sean Gunn and the sheriff from Stranger Things, whose real name escapes me.
David Harbour.
Thank you. Who are you excited to meet? What are you excited about
for
the
car? I love the dealer, the Mesa.
That's me.
Oh, my God. Go in the shop, you know. Get the stuff I can't always find in Colorado. And we're blessed. Colorado is freaking awesome for comics.
Yeah.
This last year, I traveled to Seattle, New York. You think New York's going to be this great hub. Nope. They got common stuff, and that's it. It's cool that Colorado brings in the variants. It's cool that we bring in the artists and all that stuff. So
for me, like, you know, obviously, like, for the show, we go as press, and we're trying to get interviews with, like, as many people as possible. And, like, I send Juan a list of who I want to talk to, and most of the list is just artists. Like,
cool.
I really love talking to the comic book artists and writers. And, we end up talking to, like, some of the really cool people and, like, you know, it's funny because you go to, like, these conventions and you have, like Jim Shooter comes to the cons all the time. People have no fucking idea that guy is, like, the reason you like some of the comic books that are now TV shows and movies because he, like, green-lit shit.
They're so approachable, too.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we sat with him at Colorado Springs Comic Con for, like, 15, 20 minutes, and all he wanted to do was tell his stories about when they fucked around back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, so awesome. Like, sorry, I interrupted you to, like, make
you're
him
good,
come
man.
Over here, but so you're working on your Star Wars project. You're going to Kickstarter it. Like, you know, what kind of runtime are you looking for? Like, what kind of...
It's going to be about 20 minutes at this point. Yep. So we got to... We're actually... I mean, it's 20 minutes right now, but we're trying to get to a point where eventually we want to... we're hoping that because Star Wars Celebration was just announced, we're hoping that they're going to announce the Star Wars fan film again, awards again.
Right.
So we can actually do an actual... put it into the fan film awards.
Very cool.
Yeah, so...
Well, this is your open invitation for when you have your film, like, funded and you're going on it. Please come back on the show and tell us about it.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be great, man.
Roger, do you do anything fun or do you just have, like, a normal people job?
I work for Kings.
Yeah.
The grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah. I work in a label company. It's also boring. If you're going to just touch me, like, go for it. Whatever the asshole is doing it.
So like I said,
I heard your voice is like that because you suck dick. So,
yeah, God,
you suck my dick.
Present them
with a lot of unbroken eye contact.
Lies, Dominic Pacheco.
No, my wife has all my money.
Had all your money?
No, she has it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, has it still?
She
got
keeps,
it.
Well, no, it went to bills and shit. I know, right? You would. And probably my credit card number. So, have you been so there's a lot of people around, you know, that Denver Comic Con's blowing up. So you got a lot of people that got introduced to comic books and, like, nerd culture because they went and watched, like, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm going to that comic book convention. Then there's people that have been, like, giant dweebs their entire lives, like me. Like, you know.
I've collected for over 30 years.
Awesome. So, like. What was your first comic that you were, like, hooked on?
I always laugh because I I was in college. Yeah. I'd read as a kid, but it wasn't a collecting thing. It was a reading thing.
Right.
And then in college, I went to CSU, stopped by. I was getting books on Knights Templar.
Okay.
And I thought, how cool would this be to be a comic book? So made my first visit ever to a local comic shop. And I stopped by Fusion Comics in Fort Collins. Not even around anymore.
Yeah.
I looked there, and there was the Batman, Death of the Family.
Oh, okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Four books right up there. I spent $20. Oh, my God. 20 freaking bucks on four comic books?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
When you spent that money then, you were like, that's so much fucking money.
It is.
And now you're like, oh, my God, I wish I could buy those for $20. Like, no kidding, man.
Well, I was laughing today. I was at my local comic shop, and they're pull out this guy. He bought a whole set of Preachers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Preacher number one's going for 200 some odd bucks?
Oh, yeah.
It's in a box.
At home.
In the basement, you know? What that?
What's funny is, like, so I'm a collector very much the same way. Like, I definitely actively pursue books and stuff, but anything in my collection that's worth money is because I bought it because I was reading it and I, like, inadvertently have it.
Yeah.
So, like East of West or, like, Saga and Walking Dead and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have that key issue. Oh, really? How much you pay for it? $3.99, man. Like, spending my pull for, like, 3 years now, you know?
You know, when you collect for 30 years... Books that are going that are on the wall, I call them marquee books, whatever right. you call them. My God, we used to get to pull them out of the quarter bins left and right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Star Wars number one, that's no big deal.
Oh, everybody hated that book. I had a stack of Star Wars books in my bedroom when I was a kid that had been read so many times that they were, like, literally torn up.
Yeah, ready.
So, what's up, man?
Gentlemen, how's your evening treating you?
Good. What's your name?
I'm Thad, like Thaddeus, like... Thaddeus.
Like Thadderly?
Thadderly. I am.
Thadlin?
Like J. Thaddeus Toad, you know, Disneyland.
I could definitely take that to other names, but I won't. Like, the joke's already annoying to me, so.
Gotcha. And I don't even know your name, sir.
Oh, sorry. I'm Gabe. This is
Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Podcast. This is Thinking Outside the Long Box.
What number are we on, gentlemen?
This should be episode 87.
Wow.
We've been going for about 3 years.
You made it past episode 86. That's always good.
Yeah, barely. I slept through most of it, I'm sure. So, Thad, we're asking everybody, what are you excited about for Con this year?
Oh, man. I'm just something really cool, pop culture. So I'm a middle school art teacher, and Illegal Pete's and Pop Culture Classroom invited 50 of my students down for free on Illegal Pete's. So we're going down Friday to experience the con. And, like, you know, I'm taking a bunch of middle school kids that are, like, figuring out what it is to become a full-fledged nerd. And just to see that happen is pretty exciting to me.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about how, like, you know, he's been collecting comics for like 30 years. I've been on them for a long time. I don't think I got an answer from you on that yet.
For what?
How long have you been a dork, basically?
Man, pretty much my whole life. Yeah. But I'll be honest, my wife is the reason I kind of actually finally became, like, official nerd. So
nice.
My wife pulled me out of it.
Yeah, that's how we met, actually. Through his wife?
Ooh. Friends.
Yes. So, you guys know, I went to the Dink and I saw this Denver Moon comic. Do you guys read that one?
I have not. No? I know.
Denver Moon?
Yeah,
Denver Moon. I have read that. It's awesome.
I liked it.
It is in the artwork, and it's really, really cool.
Definitely.
I got it from the comic book store over, the one that has all the cars that was during free comic book day.
I want more comics.
Yeah, the artist was there, or the writers were there. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I've only done the first two comics, but they're doing like a book release, and they're doing like, so it's all based on, it's kind of like Total Recall, the original, like extraterrestrial Mars based stuff. Are you the artist? No, I just ran into it at Dink.
He's just excited.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool.
Talking comics.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I didn't know you were the...
No, I want that.
It's really cool.
What
yeah.
better conversation than what are you excited about?
Yeah, it's called Denver Moon, and I'm like, okay, so what's the link to Denver? He's like, nothing. It just sounded like... So it's a female, basically kind of like a bounty hunter, and she's on Mars, and she's hired to do different jobs, and that's about as far as I got into it's pretty it. Pretty cool.
That's awesome. We'll
really
have to
cool
look it up and try to
Denver Moon,
show,
yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Really
I know
cool.
Probably the two local comics that I enjoy the most is Haunter, which is from Creep House Comics, which is Kevin Gentilcore, and I think he was at Dank this year. And then, oh man, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's like, I want to say it's called The Huntsman. That might be wrong, though, or The Hunter, but it's like this old dude. He's like, you know, like in his 60s or something like that, kind of like an old rednecky grandpa, but he's a monster hunter. So, like, the first issue is him, like, hunting down, like, this fat vampire in Louisiana. And the issue is about him hunting werewolves and stuff. So he's, like, he's just this crotchety old dude in a pickup truck with a gun rack in the back and just, like, rolls up to, like, little backwater towns and fucking kills their monsters. Like,
that's cool.
It's awesome. I want to say it's called The Hunter.
The Hunter. Yeah, that sounds cool.
It's been a minute since I've read it, but that guy's from Denver, and he's really cool, too.
That sounds really cool. So, I'll check that out.
Yeah, I was impressed with Dink because it's, like, a lot of smaller stuff that I'd never heard about, you know. And
but also, like, a lot of big names. Like, Jeff Lemire was there this year and some other, like, really good.
I went. Like, I took my five-year-old son to see Jeffrey Brown and get his books autographed. Nice. And then, of course, I wanted to talk to Jim Mahfood. And I've been reading Girl Scouts a little bit. I like that one. It's pretty psychedelic all of a sudden. But,
and I love his take on Tank Girl and stuff, too. Like, we talked to Jim Mahfood at Colorado Springs Comic Con. He did a sketch for one of our Patreon supporters, patreon.com/TOTLV. Sorry, I got to throw it in there if I mention it. He did one of the sketches for our Patreon supporters and did a really cool, like, Girl Scout sketch for him. So.
He's so approachable. I've talked to him at Denver Comic Con and then at Dink, and he's always, like, super chill, and he seems to really like Colorado. So
yeah,
it's always fun to see him come out. I got that the Paul's Boutique Beastie Boys comic he did that was, like, a one-off a couple years ago, and that kind of got me into his style because he's always throwing out music, and then, of course, the pinup girl stuff. You can't go wrong there. So
it was so funny because we were at Denver Comic Con. We did a panel about, like, indie comics and stuff like that, and Jim Mahfood was on the panel, and all of his stories about being, like, an indie comic books creator sounded exactly like being in a punk band in the 90s.
Right?
like me and, like, eight of my friends would hop in a van and drive from, like, this city to that city to go to, like, the one place that would buy indie comic books from us. It's like, I was like, dude, that is exactly how we went from record store to record store in, like, the 90s. Like, please sell our tape. Oh, my God.
Please.
Like,
yeah.
People listening to this going, what's record stores?
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure our demographic skews, like, to the, like, 35, 40-year-old.
I was joking. It looks like we're all about the same age. Maybe Blondie here is a little younger, but, you know, it's like I used to listen to, like, garage punk bands, and now it's like going over to my buddies and they're brewing beer in their garage, so it's all the same thing.
Oh, it's all the same.
Just change the hobby a little bit, huh?
It's just It's just funny because, like, I went from, like, listening to death metal and smoking weed in my basement to listening to death metal and smoking weed in my living room. So, like,
you got to come inside because you pay the mortgage.
Yeah, it's like, this is my house. I'll smoke wherever I please. No, you go to your fucking room.
So I'm sure you guys do the Star Wars comics. Anybody see that new Poe Dameron? Supposedly it's alluding to what's happening to Princess Leia after Last Jedi.
Really?
So one cool.
I haven't seen that.
Is have that you been keeping up issue? On Poe Dameron?
Yeah, it just came out, and they're starting to talk about, you know, they're alluding to, like, that maybe that spacewalk for Leia was a bit more damaging to her body than we all realize, and she's just going to become a luminescent or something. You know, easy way to ride her out before episode 9.
Yeah, that is an easy way to do it. So, yeah, it just makes you wonder because it's like, I mean, obviously she's not going to be in the movie, so.
How about Solo? You guys looking forward to that?
I am. That's cool. Really looking forward to Solo, honestly.
I'm going Thursday night, man. Opening premiere. Can't wait.
I was optimistic, but I was also a little apprehensive. But after kind of seeing everything that was going on with it, it looks like it's going to be a pretty exciting movie.
They're always talking about, like, a Lando spinoff, you know, and that guy, he's supposed to, Donald Glover? He's supposed to be, like, just the perfect Lando. So I think that casting was spot on.
Well, I mean, and he's hot shit right now.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
ATL is fucking amazing. Like,
that show's pretty
awesome.
Funny, too.
Yeah, that show's awesome. His music, like, is just fully hit its stride. Like, he's literally going to be in a Star Wars movie. There's basically nothing else.
Man,
he was in Spider-Man. as like the best fucking like half thug ever. Yeah. Love that.
Well, it's kind of funny because I don't know if you guys heard about that, but apparently he referenced his cousin. Well, I guess is the other Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Yeah. He referenced his cousin, which was kind of interesting. And then, you know, back to Solo, man, Woody Harrelson, that's kind of awesome, man. He's in a Star Wars movie, you know,
like,
that's
it's
cool.
It's crazy to see the difference. So, like, obviously, like, when Star Wars came out, nobody knew who Mark Hamill or Harrison Ford or Carrie Fisher was. Like, those people weren't famous yet. Like, probably the most famous person was just James Earl Jones' voice.
Yeah.
You know?
David Prowse wasn't too happy about that either.
The Morgan Freeman of the 70s, you know? But now, these Star Wars movies, like, obviously all those people are famous.
Oh, yeah.
But then they're also like, oh, here's, like, 30 fucking famous people. Like, Donnie Yen is in, like, Rogue One. Like,
yeah.
You know, Donald Glover is going to be in Solo, like... Woody Harrelson is in Solo.
It's awesome.
It's good to get a true stoner in a Star Wars movie like Woody, right?
Yeah. mean, yeah. Woody Harrelson.
Chewbacca's a stoner. We knew that forever. But Woody actually speaks about
it. Well, it looks funny, man, because there's some clips that have come out that honestly are kind of selling it more like it's kind of like the fun side of Star Wars, which... You know, that's
the reviews I read said exactly that. It's like it brought fun back to Star Wars. I mean, we've had some pretty serious
kind of serious.
That's what Han Solo is in those movies.
Yeah,
he's the comedic relief.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like he's got a bad feeling about that.
Yeah, so, I've got a bad.
What a
feeling.
Wonderful smell you've discovered, Your Worship.
Like, oh yeah,
right. And, I mean, I'm stoked for it. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the clip. One of my favorite clips I've seen yet. No spoilers or anything, but. Just the one where, you know, Chewie sits down in the seat for the first time. That's such a cool moment. I mean, honestly, that's just neat for me. You know, I don't know about you guys, but the nostalgia is kind of fun there.
I love that he's hugging a lady Wookiee, which implies to me that Star Wars Christmas is going to become canon.
Right? We're going to remake the Star Wars Christmas special 2018.
They can't anymore because B. Arthur's dead. But
oh, wow.
with the digital B. Arthur. Oh, man. Well, I've been told that I need to take a break because we got to replace batteries.
Awesome.
But
Roger, chat,
Gabe. Alex.
Nice to meet you, Gabe.
Thadalino.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, everybody. It's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you, people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Was that hilarious? Yeah.
But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
Never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, yo, come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Hey, this is Cullen Bunn, the writer of Harrow County, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
John!
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 And we're back! John sucks at his job.
No, he doesn't.
Back! Look, Yondu's dying. That's
what did
sad.
You eat?
I had a Cuban with some Sidewinder fries.
Thanks for getting me some.
I shared it with Tim. Hey, look.
I was
here's
doing
the deal.
This!
No, bitch! Here's the deal. Juan said, text me whenever you figure out what you want. And I did. And you didn't. And that's your fucking problem.
Nobody even told me it was time to order food.
What do you think a menu came from?
To her. Well,
no,
I'm talking
just,
to like 15
just,
fucking people.
It's not my menu. It's
I
a
know,
menu, not my menu.
Here, and then I had a steady stream
and
of people
this, guys,
I had to talk to.
This is why I have all his money. Because Gabe is a bitch. I love him.
I hate you guys.
He hates us. Why
does everybody just want to give me sex instead of regular food?
Nope. That's a big lot of no.
Try it out. Do what you want, man. Beat me, whip me, shit on my face.
I'm not into that.
Try it out.
You're going to have to find somebody else to do that. I'm not into that. Are you getting a horse to come over here?
Yeah.
That's not a horse. That's a Pegasus. You were incorrect. That's a Pegasus.
I'm not going to say that.
You will get beat up. It's not a horse. It's a Pegasus.
I need a little help.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, ooh, thank you. I love it.
Not used to things coming out of face that fast.
Whoa. I'm out.
So you got, yeah, hopefully you're taking a picture of this or something. All right, so introduce yourselves.
So my name is Katie Williams. I'm with Katie Williams Design.
My name's Ren Hirsch. I'm just with me.
And you'll probably have to talk like kind of loud because of the music.
It's picking up. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, good.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
So you guys are dressed as the official like logo for the beer.
Yes, the Valkyrie, Brunhilde, and her Pegasus. So we're here matching the cup.
Are you uncomfortable yet? Because it's hot as fuck in here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
this is a typical Thursday. Really.
This is just your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this puppet was made about 4 years ago for a show I did in college.
Okay.
Called The Myth of Pegasus. And since then, he's been going to events, unicorn festivals, Comic-Cons. And actually, this summer, we're going to redo Myth of Pegasus for Fort Collins Fringe Festival. So he and like a 10-foot-long, 4-person chimera puppet are going to
be
there.
Massive.
It's going to be gigantic. It's also going to be blacklight, shadow puppetry. It's going to be fun. It's July 26th through 29th in Fort Collins.
Okay, so you said something that I don't know anything about. The fuck is a unicorn con?
So, there's Unicorn Fest, which started last summer in Littleton. It's an outdoor festival. And so this summer we're going to do it again, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's people and unicorns and...
He's going to get a horn.
Yep.
Pegasus, we got a horn. Going to get a new do. Make some friends.
So, like, it's just a convention of people, like, dressed up as unicorns, talking about
it's
unicorns.
Like kids and like,
adults.
Yeah, it's
and
more like four kids, but adults and kids and bronies and Pegasus.
Oh my gosh,
thing.
My 11-year-old would die
yeah,
at that.
Yeah, they have mermaids there. Like, it's a whole, it's
whoa,
outside,
whoa, whoa.
Set apart.
Whoa.
Like, if it has
there's
got to
be some kind of separation
it.
Between mermaids. And...
I know, right? It's basically like a sparkle con.
If there's sparkles on it,
if there's sparkles
be there.
On it, it'll
yeah.
be there.
Probably.
Trolls?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
love trolls.
I think I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, even maybe Richard Simmons is going to show up. You know, who knows?
No, he's missing. I listened to that podcast.
And what's your guys' podcast?
Oh, so this is Thinking Outside the Long Box. Please take a card and sticker
yes,
and stuff.
I will
yeah,
take
she
some
might
for
have
us.
To take an extra.
Oh yeah, wait.
I might need a hand.
I get it because your hands are inside.
I know it's probably weird on a podcast. You guys can't see what we look like.
So that's crazy. How long did it take you to make this?
So from conception to the opening night of the original show is a year.
Okay.
Yeah. So and there in the original show there's. Four puppets, four life-size puppets, and shadow puppets.
Okay.
So it was, and we only had 3 weeks of rehearsal. Ren was in the original show as part of the Chimera. And then we've been doing just gigs around town, going to different fests, doing different stuff like this, doing different cons. And then, like I said, we're going to do the actual real show in the summer again.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting an upgrade. Our Chimera is getting a massive body.
Yeah.
And then Pegasus got a new chest, so, you know.
And a back.
Worked out. And a
and
back.
This is the info on that, too, for
awesome.
You guys.
So I gotta know, like, how did you guys get into making giant-sized puppets? Like,
so
it doesn't seem like a oh, this
thing.
Is a hobby I want to do.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's either that or skiing, really.
Or ski? Is that what you said?
Skiing.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Snow, cold, fuck
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah, no,
like,
this is way better. I've been doing puppetry since I was in high school, and in senior year of college, I just decided we had to do a. Like a thesis, essentially, and you just do your own show. And so I decided I was going to do a life-size puppet show. And I've always loved horses. I just think they're really beautiful and wonderful. And I decided, why not make a real horse? It's inspired off of the show War Horse. They have
okay.
real life-size puppets. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's
no,
a stage
I've seen
show.
Them.
Yeah.
Like, they made a movie out of that, didn't they?
The play was first, yep. And there's multiple life-size rideable horses in it.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You're
going to
have to look that up.
War
that
horse.
Sounds fucking
oh my
awesome.
God. Yeah, so then I just got into it, and I built them in a year as my thesis, found my cast. We had 3 weeks to rehearse. And then since then, I've just been doing puppetry in Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm the producer of the Rocky Mountain Puppet Slam.
Okay.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. Right. It's like Poetry Slam, but with puppets. So we had one in March.
Wait, are they like dark and brooding puppets?
Anything. Anything goes. A little bit.
I mean, are they like angry puppets?
They can be.
Okay.
Day to day.
They can be dark and broody.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can. It's really any kind of puppetry. I found like this cool niche of puppeteers in Colorado. And so we're going to have another one in June, probably at a brewery.
Nice.
And it's just like super chill. I'm trying to make puppetry accessible for people. So, you know, grab a drink, watch a show, like ask us questions, see how the puppets work. And puppetry is one of those art forms where we want you to see how it works. It's
right.
Not a secret.
Yeah.
We want you to ask questions. We want you to touch it. We want you to feel it. Like, just see what it's like. So,
and then for me, I was in the original and I was like, yeah, I'll be a goat puppet. Who wouldn't want to be a goat puppet? And then she's like, hey, I need someone to be Pegasus. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be a Pegasus puppet. So, like, what else am I going to do on a Thursday? And I'm also in sculpture, too, and I do theater, so it's kind of a natural transition. It's kind of a combination of everything, and I like people's reactions, too, when you see, a life-size Pegasus walk into a bar.
Well, like, in my brain, I was like, how in the world did she get conned into being in this giant horse in this, like, 800-degree room?
I got free beer.
And you love it, too. Like, clearly, this is your jam, too.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I look great.
Oh, no, you guys look awesome. Like, let's not hesitate for a second that this is amazing.
Thank you.
So
it's so much fun to just like sneak up behind people and they do like a triple take of like, oh my God, there's a horse in here.
Do you ever just like walk around downtown just to talk with people?
For the Puppet Slam, we were walking around South Broadway.
Yep. Nice. People were just staring at us and then they're not sure if they should touch it or not. They don't know if it's real or not. And
right.
They, especially adults, have this weird like thing. And kids, you know, they'll run up to it. But adults are very much like, I don't know if I'm allowed. Is this real?
Well, because mentally, I think they're like, probably weirdos made that.
Right. I mean.
Probably shouldn't let my kids talk to those people.
Oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Again, making it accessible, not trying to make puppets creepy or whatever, because people have this, you know, connotation against it. It's like, no.
It's just like, it's like clowns. Like, it's been in so many horror movies, like the puppet that talks to you and then, like, murders your face. Like,
I mean, I think our puppets are a little bit
Oh, no, absolutely. But I mean, he is a giant horse, and I could see how that would be really creepy.
Totally.
Especially since I'm terrified of any animal that's bigger than this. So.
Good thing he's not real.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a fake animal.
Exactly.
So, he's hypoallergenic.
So obviously your arms are connected to the wings because I see them moving. Do you have control over the head, or do you always have to control the head?
No, so the way it's built is a two-person puppet.
Okay.
So I do the sounds, the ears, the neck, and the head, and then Ren does the body, the wings, and the legs. And so when you build a puppet, you have to build emotional indicators into a puppet so it can have emotion.
Right.
So when I built this puppet, I looked at horses, and I said, okay, what's the most important part of a horse that tells us what it is? Ears are number one on horses. That tells you how they're feeling.
Okay.
You know, if they're turned back, he's probably not happy versus relaxed. And then feet for horses are really important, too. You can get a lot out of how the horse is pawing at the ground. Then we had to kind of get creative because, of course, horses don't have wings. So we looked at swans and geese to see how they use their wings to emotionally indicate.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how we use the different parts of the puppet. So whenever we have a new puppeteer, the first thing I make them do is watch YouTube videos of the animal they're trying to be and say, let's pick out what makes this animal angry, what makes it sad, what makes it happy. And then it's working together. So on a puppet like this, Ren and I have to be really synced up because I'm leading just because I'm in front, but really not. We're really like totally on the same wavelength to make him come alive.
Yeah.
And there's never any, the puppet should never be still. So even while I'm talking to you, his head is moving, his head's looking around, she's stomping, he's never lifeless. And that's how you keep a puppet alive. So
that's cool. Like it's so like, so cosplay is like one thing, you know, like you dress up as a character you love, you're pretending to be that. But a lot of people don't even, like, act it out. They just dress up as who they want to be.
Right.
Like, there's so much thought put into this, like, that you would not expect.
Right.
Well, like, and for me, personally, I don't know, I love acting, but my favorite thing is to be, like, an avant-garde character, you know, like, out there. I don't know what's more out there than being a life-size Pegasus, you know? Like, here I am, stomping around. I get to make new friends. I get to drink beer out of a straw. Like, I mean, really, I'm living up life, so... Yeah,
and that's awesome. Exactly right. I think that you get something else out of being a puppeteer versus just cosplaying because you are, it's funny being an actor, you have to, you're the one on stage and you're the one that people see, but being a puppeteer, you're giving so much to like another thing.
Right.
So even though you're on stage, you're giving all of your energy to like this lifeless being, and it's just so cool to see it come to life.
Yeah.
We love it.
It's awesome. Sorry, my butt keeps getting touched. It's okay.
I get that.
I like... I like her, so I'm going to take a picture of you guys really quick. That's awesome. You guys did a really cool job. Like,
thank
it's
you so
really,
much.
Really neat.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Are you cleaning up other
people's
food?
I think we're
going to
pause for just a minute.
Wait, is your podcast going live right now?
That's
or
no.
Be up
it'll be up in probably about 2 weeks.
Oh, cool. On like Apple or like where does it normally go? Yes.
You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, not Spotify yet.
Cool.
Tune in.
Sweet.
Or you can go just to our website. We
cool.
have it streaming on the website. Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty easy to find.
Well, cool.
And there's... Our podcasts are really long, just so you know. They're like 3.5 to 4 hours long usually.
Wow.
But there's like 86 episodes of content.
Do you guys normally do this kind of thing where you're like at events and you're just like interviewing people?
Yeah.
Cool.
We kind of have like a season for it that starts with Denver Comic Con and goes through Colorado Springs.
Cool.
But like honestly, if you have like some kind of event that you would be interested in having us at,
sure.
You can always touch base. Like, if you email us, it goes to him.
Okay.
Because I'm not good at that stuff. So.
And what was your name?
Juan.
That's Juan.
Yes,
that's not
right.
Gabe. Sorry.
Gabe and Juan. Yeah. Katie. Ren.
Ren.
Yeah, we definitely will because we have that show in June. So, or July.
The puppet show.
Yeah.
I was like,
so,
January. That's a long time from right now.
You are really well prepared.
So prepared.
Oh, and like, honestly, if for whatever reason we have a schedule conflict or something, feel free to touch base with us to like, oh, this was just for them, not for the show.
But
feel free to touch base with us. You can always come on the show. We like just talking
that'd be awesome.
With creative people.
Great.
So
yeah, awesome. We would love to do that. Yeah, because we got that show coming up, so we'd love that. Perfect, perfect.
Is that a Kratos or a Thor? That is a Thor.
It's Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. There was like a half second where I was like, oh, Kratos.
Cool. Thank you guys
awesome.
So
thank
much.
You so much.
Awesome.
Thank you for being on.
That's really cool. Thanks.
Pictures will be up tonight.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Cool.
We were talking about
Keith. Fuck that guy.
Hey, he repped our shirt all day on Free Comic Book Day.
That's why I got to be mean to him is because I love him.
I loved it.
Hey, don't you know how to neg someone?
I like Keith, so I'm not going to neg him.
I'm
not going to give him negs.
I like
fuck
Keith, so I got to make fun of him so that he'll love me back.
Brown people are already oppressed without you fucking bringing us down further.
I know.
Just because I'm not Hispanic.
Brown. I said brown.
Man.
It don't matter.
Brown is brown.
Yeah,
dude.
Brown is brown.
Even
it don't
if
matter.
It's really light brown.
I'm more yellow.
I wasn't going to say that.
That's racist.
Here,
so.
That's not racist if he's talking about himself.
Yeah, that's not racist.
He knows.
I can talk all the shit I want about Asians.
You mean Orientals.
Oh my god.
Wow.
About my mom.
Doyle made another appearance.
We her mom was talking to her on the phone and she's like,
keep in mind, my mom's like 74.
She goes, "We went to a very delicious Asian buffet place because the last time we were there, she was all, yeah, we love the Oriental restaurant." I'm like, don't say that around people. That's
are you eating rugs? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I should hope not.
It's like that idiot Republican on the
China people.
Yeah, he was like the China people.
Some guy from West Virginia was talking about Mitch McConnell giving money to his family, and his dad is Chinese, like because his mom married a Chinese guy, and the guy was like, he's giving money to those China people, and then like in a debate. In a debate, they asked him, they're like, do you really think it's appropriate to say China people? He's all, of course it's appropriate. That's what they are. There's China people,
Korea
Africa
people,
Korea people.
Oh,
it's like, oh, yeah, you like quadruple downed on that shit, man.
Like,
yeah, there goes all those
have, like, a China family.
I just
like,
love the Africa people. Nobody says that,
hey,
I don't think.
No,
do
nobody
know
says
why
Africa
Black
people.
Panther is Black Panther?
What?
Do you know why?
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. So... We're watching Infinity War with Hannah, who's six.
Seven.
Just turned seven, like a couple days ago.
We'll forgive you for that.
So Black Panther walks out on the screen, and Hannah goes, oh, I get why they call him Black Panther. I was like, why, Hannah? She goes, because he wears a black suit. I'm like, yes, yes, that is exactly
also,
why.
Also, Wakanda is very close to Madagascar, and they probably have vibranium lemurs.
They probably have vibranium lemurs.
Vibranium lemurs.
She had to learn about lemurs at school, so.
Ah, I get it.
Dumb.
Wakanda forever.
Doing that at Derby.
Oh, man.
Why is this guy with glasses staring at us?
I think he's fucking with the TV.
Oh. I didn't mean you, Keith. I didn't mean you, Keith.
There's a lot of people with glasses around here.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for wearing our shirt for a day.
I love your shirt.
I'm going to go wash it and give it to Isaac.
No, he said, oh, I want that shirt. I want that shirt. I was like, dude, I'll give it to you, but I'd have to go around like without a shirt on.
It's because he made the logo.
I know. I know. I just thought it was funny that you didn't give him a shirt.
Well, we didn't make them until then. He dropped off the planet.
Those were literally the first shirts we made.
I haven't seen that guy in forever.
I haven't either. It was months, but it was pretty funny.
He's huge. He is massive.
So, Keith, it's loud in here now.
What?
What are you looking forward to at the convention?
Oh, man. You know, I want to get a Freddie Williams sketch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
turtles. That's really cool.
You're volunteering, are you?
I'm looking forward to getting more Conan sketches.
You're volunteering, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still waiting for the convention that Rob Liefeld's at so I can hand him my Conan sketchbook and say, I would like a sketch of Conan's foot, please.
And he wouldn't be able to draw it.
I know. Or he'd just draw like the little triangle thing, charge me like $80.
He'd draw you a dick.
All right, there you go. There you go, fucking asshole.
That would be amazing, by the way.
But Conan's dick is probably huge and veiny.
Dude, so in the new Conan game, you can adjust the size of your dick.
Ooh.
That's weird.
That is a true fact.
It's weird.
That's exciting. Now, you know, it's pretty exciting for Comic-Con this year because there's a lot of big names, you know?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great. And they brought a lot of writers, too, you know?
I'm very excited for the artists and writers. I'm super stoked that Tony Moore is here, dude. Like,
he was here a couple years ago.
I know, but I didn't get to talk to him a couple years ago.
That gentleman over there, the bald guy, he's one of the presidents of the board for Denver Comic-Con.
Oh, nice.
I told him to come over here and talk to us at some point.
Nice. So...
it was good to see you guys. I'm going to grab...
That is that guy in the baseball cap.
It's too long, man.
Yeah. He did this one, and he did that one. He had some of his cards out. I don't know where they went. But if you hit him up, I'm sure he has some.
Tim!
He's gonna be at a booth at the convention, too. So, yeah.
He was asking about your prints. Take one. That was easy. You got another? I think he's just asking about who you are.
Oh.
I don't fucking know.
What is going on here? We're recording an episode of
our
podcast.
I do that too.
Oh, nice. Feel free to sit with us.
Cups them.
Are these just like free?
Yeah, take them.
Nice. Thank you. Why don't you sit down and talk with us about your dog cosplay?
What?
Dog?
What?
D-O-G? No, that's my somebody's.
That's mine, but it's cool.
Tell us your name, man.
Dwayne Harshman.
Okay, and you are with?
We are with CosPaws, and we promote education of service dogs, ESAs, and therapy dogs. What's the difference with them, and what access rights they have? We also help people in the community to get service dogs because average service dog price can be around like $40,000.
Holy shit, are you serious? Oh, wow, I did not know that.
So we try to make... We have an in-home trainer, and she helps to... Her name's Skylar. She helps to evaluate the dogs to see if we can find a dog that will fit for service dog needs. And then we help train the dogs, and we charge very little, and it goes all back to CosPaws to help the next person to get their service dog.
Nice. And who's your buddy here?
Right here, this is Jack, cosplay puppy. He's my service dog. I've had him for 10 years.
And he's dressed as?
He's Iron Man.
He's Iron Man today. And he seems like a lovely animal.
Yeah, he's a great dog. And he's my lifeline. I mean, honestly, I probably wouldn't be alive without him.
That's awesome.
He's a great dog. And I'm a little... In the service dog community, some people can be kind of snobby, but I've seen at conventions how people petting him helps out, so I don't mind, you know? People are like, hey, can I pet your dog? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
I love on him. He's a good pup.
So it sounds like a really cool service that you do to kind of, like, introduce people to service animals, to, like, work with them to get their own. Like, what kind of things qualify somebody for a service animal?
Well, there's different types of service dogs. You have diabetic service dogs, seizure alert service dogs, but we mostly maintain in psychiatric service dogs. So if you have a crippling anxiety or crippling depression. And all it really takes is for your doctor to be like, you know, this could benefit you to have a service dog to help mitigate your psychiatric needs.
Right.
So, because like I have combat PTSD.
Okay.
And so if I have an episode, he'll alert me. You probably saw it tonight. He jumps up on my hip. And if I don't pet him or if I don't acknowledge him, he'll start barking.
Oh, to kind of snap you out of it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
sometime
it.
Sometime if you ever want to come on the show and talk more in depth about it, hit us up.
Oh, I absolutely would.
It's really hard to do over the Cure, I know.
Right?
So.
Absolutely.
But, and thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Because we're just new in the community, and we did Colorado Anime Fest.
Oh, nice.
And we're blowing up, and we're like, this is awesome.
Too many people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, man. Thanks. I'll just trade. That'll make it easier. I've been rotating the mics anyways. That way my...
Musical chairs with the mics?
What's that?
They're playing musical chairs with the mics?
Pretty much. Yeah. It gives me a chance to spit on all of them.
Market territory.
Right?
That's right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are so we know.
My name is Tony Ellis de Jesus. I'm the president of the board of directors of Pop Culture Classroom.
So you're the big man.
Well, you know, I'm in charge of board of directors, in charge of the financial oversight and the mission and vision and direction of the organization that runs Denver Comic-Con and an extraordinary educational outreach.
That's awesome. So, you know, Pop Culture Classroom is obviously like the lifeblood of Denver Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, how would you describe, like, your job, like, to the community? Like, what are you striving for through Pop Culture Classroom?
What we're striving for through Pop Culture Classroom?
Yeah.
Well, what we're striving for, the mission of the organization, or the goals of the organization, is to use pop culture in a way that's a learning tool to reach students reach students in a unique way. Some of them are not, maybe need just, to be connected in a certain type of way.
Yeah, like
through the things they like. You know?
It's that idea that like different people learn in different ways. And sometimes school isn't offering you the way you need to learn.
It's an alternative way of learning.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
But it's based on the way that Generation Xers, you know, or older generations have already been using. I mean, I grew up on comic books. You grew up on comic books, probably.
Right.
We both grew up on pop culture media. We both grew up watching the same types of movies. So it's just taking these types of media and turning the age-appropriate content into a learning tool for students.
So when you're looking at, you know, the broad scope of, like, what Pop Culture Classroom does and what you do through Denver Comic-Con, like, what's your favorite thing to see? Like, you know, obviously there's got to be goals and financial shit and all sorts of other stuff, but what's your favorite thing about all of it where you're like, that's why I do it. I love this part right here.
The thing about the Denver Comic-Con event is that it reminds you of all that. I mean, when I walk through the con and I see things like the PCC Kids Lab, and what you'll see is a large area of the con. And a lot of Comic Cons, or I should say similar events, don't have this large area for families to share in the con experience.
Right.
And you see these large groups of families, not only cosplaying together, but they're drawing, they're doing art, they're sharing different types of passions for different types of fandoms, like Steven Universe and
right.
Star Wars, and you see the kids drawing the characters. You really, that's the goal. That's the end goal.
I totally lost my 11-year-old daughter to that last year. I was like, sweetie, I got a buttload of interviews I got to do. You can totally hang out with me. We're going to meet all sorts of cool people. Or you can go over to that place and you can do whatever you want over there.
Yeah.
And she disappeared. Like,
one of the early years of Denver Comic-Con, because previously, before taking the role of the president of the board of directors, I was their first, I was Denver Comic-Con's first communications director. So I was in charge of the marketing output.
Right.
And the communications output and the artistic guidance or direction of the Denver Comic-Con brand. So getting back to what you were saying, I mean, during the early years, I seen a whole family dressed up as the Incredibles.
Right.
And being in the marketing side of things, and you see like the pictures that are coming across that the photographers take that people share on social media.
Right.
And you see pictures of people enjoying the culture. Either people who were previously exposed to it and just enjoying it as if it was any other con.
Right.
But also to people who are new to the con experience. One thing I can say about Denver Comic Con, what we strive to do is to achieve a level of inclusion for people who are professed geeks like you and me, and people who are just not used to geekdom that seem, you know, kind of, well, they look at it and they think, well, this is not for me.
Right.
But it is you. It is me. I mean, everyone is a geek.
On some level of something.
You could be like a sports geek and know every player statistic there is. You can be a Star Wars geek. You can be, you know, animation geek, anime geek. I mean, we're all geeks. We all have a passion for something.
Right.
So it's just that one event where all those different types of passions and interests are respected and presented on a level where everyone can learn and enjoy.
That's awesome. You know, it's cool because, like, the convention experience definitely has reflected that for us over the last 3 years, because the people that we've talked to, whether they be cosplayers or artists or writers or even, like, actors and stuff like that, come from every brand of everything. Like, I mean, there's so many amazing people that are coming to the convention this year. Like, personally, who are you the most excited about at convention?
Good question. Now, the thing about this year, it's a challenge to pick someone.
Yeah.
Before coming over to the table to do the interview, I have to admit something. I actually had to go through the DC website. I actually had to go to the Denver Comic Con website and review our guest list because there's so many people I'm excited about.
Right.
I'm excited about DMC.
Nice.
From Run DMC.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Like, I would love... Like, so every year I give Juan, like, this list that's like, these are the people I want to talk to. And we shoot for the stars, like, whoever we want, you know, whoever I want. And he tries to reach out to everybody, and that's, like, one of the huge names.
That's one of the huge names. Also, Frank Miller.
Yeah.
The guy who, or one of the people who kind of reintroduced the media to a different generation.
Well, I mean, he made the modern Batman.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, Batman wouldn't be what Batman is if it wasn't for Frank Miller.
Absolutely.
Like,
so he's another one I'm excited about. Another one, David Tennant.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as doctors go, these are the two doctors that reinvented
Doctor
or represented
Who.
Doctor Who and the phenomenon to a new generation, to an American generation. You have David Tennant and Matt Smith
right.
in one place. Where will you see this? This is awesome.
So how much is the photo op for, like, everyone from Doctor Who going to be? Like, $500?
Yeah. It might be some cases where you may have to choose. You know. Unfortunately, with so many different and excellent options and guests, you're going to have to make those decisions.
Oh, yeah.
But at least you have those choices, you know?
I mean, it was cool. Like, last year we got to meet the guy that played Luke Cage and the guy that played Iron Fist and, like, you know... We met Stan Lee last year. Like, I mean, it's just all sorts of crazy people, like, at the convention to meet.
Exactly. And speaking of the Netflix series, like Iron Fist and Luke Cage, we have the Stranger Things cast,
like,
coming back.
Everyone from Stranger Things.
Double.
Yeah.
You know, last year it was about 3 or 4. Now it's a lot more of the cast.
You have both Hellboys.
Both Hellboys in one place.
And the Son of Anarchy.
Yeah. I mean, I was a big fan of Son of Anarchy, so... It's great to have, you know, that talent there this year. And so many other things. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old's going to be stoked on that. So
yeah, so it's the level of guests that are known for so many things.
Yeah.
It's just to choose one is impossible.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you talk about being inclusive to, like, the full level of geekdom. And, you know, people complain. People say, well, it shouldn't be Denver Comic Con because it's not just about comic books. But it's like, look, we're all here to have a good time, whether that be comics, movies, TV shows. Like, and it's all coming from that same root of, like, pop culture and nerd culture that is, like, so pervasive. It's just that people don't realize that a show like Stranger Things is based in all the stuff that I was doing when I was a kid that none of you guys liked. You know,
yeah, absolutely. When I explain Comic-Con to people, I explain it as a generic name like Car Show, Home and Garden Show. It's the name of a genre or type of show.
Right.
That people understand when you say Comic-Con, they know what that is. But you're right, it's more than just comics. One of the marketing slogans that we've used in the past was, it's comics and more.
Right.
It's comics and all you just explained. And once people get in the door and they see that, we try to portray that or project that or promote that in our advertising too. Once you see the guest list, you know, oh my goodness, you know, this is more than just comics. This is everything that I binge watch on Netflix, you know. But as far as comics go, we do have a large selection.
Oh, yeah.
Of comic book folks. I mean, one of the creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, Eastman.
Is going to be there,
legendary.
Yeah. Toni Moore is going to be there from Strangers in Paradise and Rachel Rising. Like, I'm so excited for that. Like, Jim, like, so many great people are going to be there, like artists and writers and stuff. It's, you know, it's so funny because, like I said, there's people that are like, oh, it's just a pop culture con. It's like, dude, you're just not looking at the list. Like, there's tons and tons of people that have done everything that you can think of, like every major and minor comic book you can think of.
Right, and not only that, but in the comic book industry, there's always a push for inclusion from the fandom, you know?
Right.
So we have the largest diverse comic book guest list that I've ever seen at any convention. I mean, it's every inclusion. We have women creators. We have African-American creators. We have Latino creators. We have everyone doing or drawing characters or presenting characters from Deadpool to Black Panther to, you know, Steven Universe. To,
right.
You know,
the Adventure Time people are
absolutely
there. Like, all sorts of awesome
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely. So you're looking for diversity. That's one of our main focus and definitely one of our main goals, to present a diverse look or view of the comic book industry that's presented nowhere else at any other comic book convention.
It's awesome to see how excited you are about it. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that their job just is their job, you know, and you're clearly out there, you're in the community, you're excited, you are doing this thing, and to see how happy you are about, like, this crazy shit that you're putting together
absolutely
is amazing. It's in good hands. Thank you.
Absolutely. Another thing to remember, too, is majority of us 100% volunteer.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a volunteer for the organization, and we do have paid staff. That comparison to the large number of volunteers that we have, phenomenal volunteers who are also just as passionate for the organization as I am.
Right.
Put their all into the organization. So, you know, kudos to all the volunteers too. But let's not forget, you know, what we tell the community all the time is about 90-95% of the people who participate in different Comic-Con and bring it to the public are volunteers.
Yeah. It's awesome. Well, man, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate your time. Clearly, you have set the course for another amazing convention this year. So
absolutely,
thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, man.
All right.
What is up, future listener? My name is Josh.
And I'm Kevin.
And I am Michael. And we host the Second Press Podcast, that news curating podcast where us three cousins get together and make fun of the news.
We'll keep this short and sweet. You should listen to our podcast because it's funny and informative.
Exactly. We find interesting stories off the beaten path and liven up overreported stories with our own fresh views and new takes.
Yeah, and despite being a news podcast, we are pleasantly not preachy at all.
So, search for the Second Press Podcast in your podcast aggregator of choice and give the Second Press Podcast a listen.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Second Press Pod.
And if you're feeling really adventurous, you can explore our sexy website at www.secondpresspod.com.
We would really love for you guys to give us a listen and join our growing community.
Guys, we already love you, and because we do, we ask you, please stay out of the news.
Peace.
Hi, this is Paul Karasik, and I am the editor of the complete collection of works of Fletcher Hanks, Turn Loose Our Death Rays and Kill Them All. And today, I'm thinking outside the long box with Gabe.
Artistry to it and a bit of common man to it that I think is like a... It's a trick.
Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's got, like you said, it's like a trick, this balance of, you know, interesting enough or strange enough that people are excited, but like normal enough that like just what whoever can drink it.
Listen, right? I think that's one of the areas that there's a lot of symbiosis between like the comic book crowd and the craft beer crowd is at some point you realize you're not talking to your core audience and you gotta like start back over and you kind of like,
right.
All right, let me start over and get you to where I'm at, right? So if we nerd out too hard on beer, we're going to lose people, right?
Right.
But people also, I think, expect and want to see some, like, thought behind it, some credibility and some artistry, you know? So it's a balancing act. Like, we're spinning plates to try to get this right. And I think for the most part, they do well, especially this year. This year is, like, right in the right realm, you know? A raspberry Belgian wit, people can get down with that.
So here's the thing that's always kind of I've been curious about. How is it that, like, as a beer company, you were like, yeah, hooking up with comic books, that seems like an awesome idea. Like, it just seems like two very divergent cultures. Like, how did they come together?
So really where it started was we had a friend in the original guy who started the Comic-Con was like a friend of ours, right? And we just knew that guy just from years and years and years of other random stuff, right? He's like, hey, we're thinking we're going to build a real Comic-Con in Denver and do something bigger. You know, we don't know how it's going to go or what it's going to happen, but you guys want to be involved and all. And he's the kind of guy that likes to, like, hang out at a bar and drink for a little while, right? Like, that's our kind of guy. So we grab a couple rounds, sit at the bar and talk through, like, okay, cool, yeah, but we're not the type of brewery that really just wants to put our name on stuff to put our name on stuff. Like, there's got to be a reason and a why behind it, something that connects with people, you know? And they sat around, hung out with us for a little bit, and we dreamed up scenarios that might be interesting and tried to decide if they were on brand or not, and that's how we came up with creating a custom beer.
That's awesome. And to this day, it's the only convention that has, like, a custom beer every
Not exact, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. So, yes, exactly what we do is, like, building a new... Like, it's a labor of love. It's hard to do, to recreate the wheel every year. Come up with a new beer, a new artist, a totally new...
Like, just a different thing.
Yeah. So, and, like, you know, if you're in marketing, you got to be like, what are you guys doing? Why don't you come up with something specific that you can replicate every year and still, right?
The Denver Comic-Con beer.
Yeah, but that's no fun. Like, it's, you know,
right.
You got to keep it interesting. So we, you know, that's I think there's a level of, you know, we're not here to cash a paycheck. We're here because it's fun. So,
right. That's awesome.
Let's
man.
Do something new every year. But that being said, there are other breweries that have done some stuff for Comic-Cons. Way later than us, by the way. I'd like to say that we were the first. And one of my favorites is Brooklyn Brewery for New York Comic-Con. They do a beer called, I want to call it Beer Defender. A really great program. And the guys at Brooklyn Brewery are awesome. They're really nice guys. But I do have to say, one of my favorite quotes, I'm gonna mess this up. So if anybody from Brooklyn hears this, by all means, hit me up and write me an angry letter. But in the article where they were talking about the first time they did Beer Defender, they basically were like, we watch what Breckenridge does in Denver with Denver Comic Con.
And they're like, we need to get on that
train. Yeah, kind of like put their own spin on it, you know? And like when you're from Brooklyn, you can be like, yo, man, we're from Brooklyn where we steal your shit and we don't give a fuck, you know?
Right.
And that's cool with us. Honestly, because it's Brooklyn and Brooklyn Brewery and those guys are fucking awesome. The crowd's cool. The people that they deal with are cool. Every time that we've gone to that brewery and hung out with those guys, they've been cool. I would hope to take as much credit as I can for their program, but I can't really. It's their own thing. They've got their own spin and they do.
Even though you're doing it better and you're awesome.
I would argue that we do is better. But their program's cool.
I know. I'm just being an ass.
If you're a fan of Brooklyn Brewery or from there, I would say we change it every year. It's a new beer, a new name, a new concept, a new artist every single year. So beat that, Brooklyn.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you get back to having fun and I'm going to eat my chicken wings, but
sounds
it's
good.
Awesome having you on the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks for
keep making that amazing beer.
I appreciate it.
Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, my man.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You so much.
We'll catch you at the con.
I am being summoned, y'all.
What's up?
I need some fucking business cards, eh? Why is this mic like...
Because I had to give it to, like...
The horse lady?
Yeah.
The horse whisperer?
Horse whisperer?
Horse?
What does that sound like?
No!
Sounds like that.
Are you happy now?
No!
Bitching all night.
Huh?
He's been bitching all night.
Why?
I don't fucking know. He's a bitch.
Because I had no food.
Did I bitch when we were doing this before?
What? Yes. Hey, are you having a good night, you asshole? I think we're about to ready to leave.
You are?
I think so.
Why?
We've been here since 6.
It's 9.
I have kids.
Me too.
I have work at like 6 in the morning.
You're always distracted by dogs.
Financial planner?
I don't know how my watch works.
Hey, it's good to have you on, you asshole.
It's nice to be here.
You're never on anymore.
I know.
You.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I have kids.
So do
and
I.
A life.
So
and a
do
business.
I.
Want him to get... And I gotta make sure Dom's
You've
not.
You've got employees.
That's true. That's
so
a...
you should be.
You would think
to be
that would make it
more.
Easier, but it does not make it easier.
That's a lie.
Does Dom make it harder?
Dom makes it real hard.
Oh,
real hard.
Hey. Oh yeah. Wow.
Did you say bags?
No, she said there's a lot of bags at the store.
Bags, yeah. Bags and boards.
Yeah.
B&B.
Bags and horse.
Not bed
horse.
And breakfast.
Although, I would come to your bed and breakfast.
You're not invited. Stay the fuck away.
It's only.
All right, Doyle.
Wow.
Doyle's right here. Somebody's got to say it.
Somebody's got to pull the races down.
You need business cards?
I do.
Take some. I need to order more. No, not
those.
Not
that many. Those are my business.
Side note.
I need show business cards.
We have them on the
floor.
Side note.
I need more than
that. I heard you were trying to disassociate.
Who?
You.
What are you talking about?
I had heard that you were trying to disassociate yourself from us.
He's trying to make it flowery.
From, wow, when?
I didn't start the rumor this time.
It was just around the rumor mill.
That's not true at all.
You don't love us anymore.
I know.
John's getting pushed out because all of a sudden Tim's in and Doyle's in. And I'm just like, all right, well. There's another side note. So John's gonna just ride off into the sunset. I still call, I still text, and I fucking Facebook message you.
And
I fucking sent you the hotel information, and I also just sent it to your wife, because your wife's like, no, send it to me.
I got
FYI,
it.
FYI, he's calling me a bitch.
All right.
He calls
everybody
a bitch.
Bitch.
Tim,
well, I'm just saying.
Having an orgy in the basement.
So Doyle's only in because he gives us money.
What do you think
about
the beer?
I hope he hears this.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he should, since he gives us money.
I would hope so.
What do you think about the beer?
I think it's tasty.
I do too.
It's a good drinking beer.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I could drink this all day on a warm summer evening.
That's exactly what I said to Ryan.
Which is what it is.
It's a hot weather beer.
Which is what it is right
fucking
now.
Oh, it's what?
Which is what it is right fucking
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Fuck this noise.
Here.
What is going on? Global warming.
My car says
it's
damn near 90
real.
Degrees.
Hawaii's on fire. Liquid hot magma.
And flooding all at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get it.
Have we talked about... Do you guys know about the whole comics and diversity shit?
Yeah.
Okay. So we haven't talked about it, but yes.
No.
I'm a part of that group that they screen capped all of the retailers and started fucking terrorizing retailers with.
I don't even know what you're talking
about.
I'll
tell about. You about it later.
Yeah.
It's too loud in here to actually have that conversation.
But
we will have that very soon.
All about assholes.
Lots and lots of assholes.
It's just
lots
a bunch of anal fissures spewing liquid hot magma.
Magma.
With sharks, laser beams.
On Mustangs.
mustache rods?
Yes.
So. I'll tell you in the car about that.
It's no curve whatsoever. Just like my penis.
Just.
Straight as an arrow.
For 2.5 inches.
Centimeters.
Side note, we have a lot of interviews.
Get that in the microphone.
Straight.
Nice and straight.
Nice and straight.
Did you get your New England clam chowder?
I did. It worked.
I told you.
So if you go to that bar over there and say, I'd like a beer, New England clam chowder, wink, they give you a beer for free. Technically not, because it's on the Breckenridge people.
But Ryan said it was okay for us, yeah. So he gave me the wink and the nod.
To Breckenridge, to Ryan, to Denver Comic Con.
Yeah. Do you want a jet after you're done?
Sure.
He's still eating chicken, man.
I said after he was done. Oh, I wanted done. You to come over so he's we could say goodbye.
I know.
Because you're never fucking on.
I'm sorry.
I try and get him to say Juan, John, and Gabe every episode.
He doesn't
do
say it.
That's on him.
I have a hard time with inaccurate specificity. He paid for him, so I don't give a fuck.
I think I paid for him, actually.
You paid for him, so I don't give a fuck.
I don't know if you did or not this time.
Yeah, because they're from Minuteman.
Oh, then yeah, you did.
So fuck off.
No. So here's the thing. I say with today's host, I do. I maybe didn't the first time because I've been working on it. But if you're on, I say your name.
I'm trying. Okay. He don't listen.
Fuck you. As long as you get a tattoo at episode 100, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
See? It'll be like this big.
Super small.
What tattoo is it?
The people are going to have the micro glasses.
Wakanda Forever.
Oh.
Sorry.
She hasn't seen that movie yet. Oh. So just...
In Black Panther, they have tattoos in their lips. That's like their name.
Also on Blade.
You're albino. You are not Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever.
I'm the White Panther.
I think Black Panther could still be white.
Meow.
Because he's wearing a Black Panther suit. So that's the only thing that makes him Black Panther.
2 seconds. 2 seconds. 1001, 1002. So
what are we talking about?
Dooku, okay, the white gorilla.
Yeah.
Why have they not, like, given him, like, the gorilla exoskeleton to beat people up yet?
I heard that they thought that would be kind of racist.
No. Yeah. Like, to dress him up as a gorilla, yeah. But, like, in the comic, he has, like, an exoskeleton. Yeah. Like, it's very clearly just, like, an Iron Man-style suit. I mean, come on, because you don't want to see that.
Right.
Like,
but I also didn't want to see CGI rhinos.
I didn't mind them.
I did.
They were funny.
I love that movie.
You didn't mind them?
I didn't like the CGI
rhinos.
You
didn't like them, but you liked the fucking Justice League?
What?
That CGA was 100% worse, the CGI in that movie.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. No,
what?
It was
absolutely
fucking horrible.
Absolutely not.
You're insane.
It wasn't. I'm not.
You're insane.
I'm totally sane.
You're drunk.
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, fuck off.
Dude, the CGI in Black Panther was so much better than it was in Justice League.
The problem that I have is that the entire movie, when Black Panther is in his costume, is all CGI. And I don't understand why people are like, CGI.
Not all of it.
Yeah, all of it.
All the fight stuff, for sure. Yeah. But
it looks good.
That's all of it.
It looked better than Justice League. That's why I didn't mind it.
I don't fucking care. It still is CGI.
I agree.
And so fuck off.
But it looked better.
Who cares?
It still
looks shitty because it's CGI. Put a guy in a fucking suit and have him fight somebody. Jesus Christ, is it that hard?
Yes. It seems to be
apparently
that hard. It seems to be.
The suit, man.
I agree
so
with
much
you.
That was so hard for the new Hellboy, though.
Oh, right?
And I have nothing. I have nothing to base that on except David Harbour and his glorious face and stuff.
And stuff.
And body and abs.
I'd like the allusion to all the rest of him.
Right.
His like David Harbour's face.
And stuff. And stuff.
Wink.
Dad ass.
Should we close out the show so we can get home to our glorious kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, John, just in case you didn't know,
where can we find the show,
you
Gabe?
Can find the show at www.totlb.com.
Oh, really?
You can find us on Facebook.
No shit.
At facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. On Instagram or Twitter.
at Outside Long Box. You can shoot us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. Just like I said to all the creative people that we talked to today, there's like an open invitation. If you make something creative, whether it be a comic book or a movie,
a fucking horse costume,
a Pegasus
that has no rear legs.
That's crazy.
That I try to give Juan $5 to be the rear legs of Pegasus, but he didn't want any part of that.
You chicken.
And
shit.
I had another $5 from Mike Kirk, so that's $10 to be the ass of a horse.
Why
to
would
be
you
a horse's
the
ass?
Horse, Juan.
You say you want the horse's ass?
$10, yes. Mel.
But you can, you can get a hold of us by contacting us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. You can give us a phone call at 970-573-6148. You can talk to the ghost of Michael Kirk, was on the show today.
He was.
It was midget wrestling and shit.
Talking about midget giant dwarf porn.
Yeah, midget giants.
That's a lot of oxymorons.
It's like a new fetish for him. But you can give us a call. You can leave us a message about just about anything. FYI, our upcoming shows are largely going to be convention shows for a few episodes. So we're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to interview a lot of awesome people. No spoilers, though. You're going to have to wait for the episodes to come out. Be sure to check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB to support the show, or go to amazon.totlb.com. Those are the two easiest ways to support us. And if you're coming to Denver Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con and you want to talk to us, hit us up. We'd love to talk to you. This has been episode 87 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
We think.
I'm Gabe.
Yeah. I'm John.
I'm Juan.
For Tim and Doyle, fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
The original.
Woo! Woo! Let's get hammered.
I don't even know that how that's possible, because I was not pointing towards you.
And he's straight.
And you got
straight arrow.
Hey, Seinfeld, bro. That is one magic fucking loogie.
True. Touche.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And we're back.
And we're out.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albi is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.